Hello, 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 and welcome to Voice of America's special coverage of the playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. Basketball Africa League finals are here. I'm in studio. My name is Jackson Vunganyi with Mark Bill Yabaro. Yo, Mark Bill.
Jax, Action Jackson, what's going on, my guy? How you feeling?
Dubbed up to you. Listen, we are here. Can you imagine? It's the finals.
Listen, it's been a long run.
It's been a long run. I feel like we've been playing the games. I feel as tired as those players because, man, this has been a long series, but we're used to it. This is our fourth time doing this. Right. We're not new to this. So expect nothing but fireworks for this playoff finals between Al Ahly of Libya and Petro de Luanda of Angola. Al Ahly Libya are debutant teams, as many of you know. They're from Libya, of course. Not to be mistaken with the Al Ahly of Egypt, the former champions that were knocked out. I think they were knocked out by Al Ahly Libya in this playoffs.
Yes, yes, they were.
They come in with a flawless record for this playoffs, for the postseason. I mean, they're a debutant team, but they're acting. They're like been around here before, Mark Bell.
They're showing us that, look, man, we may be debutant teams to the league, but we got some players who've been playing the game for a very long time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. It is a highly anticipated finals. It will feature a thrilling matchup between these two teams. Both teams have fought their way through the postseason to reach this pinnacle, but their journeys have been, you know, as they say, markedly different. Al Ahly has been nothing short of dominant throughout the playoffs. They have maintained an undefeated record, beating formidable teams such as Cape Town Tigers with our guy Simkelo. Bro, what a team, Cape Town Tigers. Let's talk a little bit about how those guys were able to make it out, first of all, out of the conference in Kalahari and go to Kigali and fight their way. But they were beaten by eventually the guys who might take it all. So that says something. If you're beaten by the champion, especially most of these games were going in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so thank you so much for joining us. Remember to connect with us at voaafrica.com. That's our website. You can stream the show live, watch the game live on YouTube. You can watch the game live at voaafrica.com. VOA is a partner broadcaster with the Basketball Africa League. For the last four seasons. That's why Mark Bill and I are always here, just to bring you the games live. We have vested interest in good basketball, right?
Absolutely.
Both personally and professionally.
Yeah.
But it's been a long, long journey from the Kalahari Conference, the first time that we saw an expansion of the BAL to one more conference, which was in South Africa. For the first year, South Africa hosted the game. That's what they call the Kalahari Conference, and that's where Petro de Luanda was actually, you know, played. They lost their game to in that conference to the Cape Town Tigers, again coming out to the Cape Town Tigers,
yeah,
which I called the Cinderella story of this game. Now we are at the finals.
Man.
Mark Bell, I know you're not in the business of predictions, but talk to me, my guy.
Listen.
I mean, these teams all have a stellar record.
Yes.
But the one team that is really has been on top is Al Ahly Libya. What? Talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, Jax, for me, Al Ahly Libya has shown not only are they a debutant team that has come out of nowhere, really, you know, highly unexpected. They finished their the Nile Conference in second place right after Al Ahly Egypt.
Right.
We were making jokes and saying, you know, will the real Al Ahly please stand up, right?
and they did.
They showed us that, look, we may have come second because, you know, Cairo and Egypt had the fans.
We had to respect the venue.
This is, they're at home.
Yes.
You know, let's not cause too much chaos at home. And then they come over here to, you know, to Kigali and really show us a different level, man.
Absolutely.
They've really turned it up. So
absolutely.
To me, I'm thinking Al Ahly, it's their game to lose. But then now if you look look at it from the narrative and the story perspective, right? Petro have been these giants of Africa. They've been in the tournament for 4 years. Mm. This is their... It's like a homecoming party,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
You're expecting them, if they got back here again...
They've been around the block, so they would
not squander this position again.
This is the moment. This is the moment they cannot afford to lose again.
Look, man.
You know what I'm saying? But again, they're playing against a team that has been leading in the postseason with an average of 87 points per game.
Yeah.
That is not a team to just like... You know, to trump over easily. So.
Oh, no, it's not. But to be honest, though, this Petro team, though, I feel like Petro this year has done something different than what they did in the past. Mm. In the past, they were, you know, like we said, this was a collective team that you could say that the DNA and the makeup of it was the Angolan national team.
Yes.
Everything is homegrown. They're keeping their team.
They've been together for a minute, for a really long time. They understand each other. Yeah.
So for them, it was more like their chemistry was really what was propelling them more so than the outside talents that you kind of sprinkle
in. The journeyman.
This time, though, they have a player by the name of Nicky. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That man dropped 8 threes in their last game in order to get them to this final position.
Yes.
So if he is any indication or if he can recreate that by any measure,
absolutely,
it looks like they're here to take it off.
I agree. But also can't take it away from El Ahly Libya. Their impressive scoring ability is really a result of a well-executed offensive strategy by their coach. They boast the best field goal shooting percentage in the postseason of 47%. That is high up there.
Come on, man. 47 is not easy.
That is significantly higher than Petro de Luanda's 37%.
Right.
So this efficiency indicates their ability to create and convert high-quality scoring opportunities they take advantage of. And before we go any further, we have a guest in the house.
In studio 3.
Yeah. Paul Ofuono has been with us, he was here like 3 times when we're in the conferences.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Paul Ofuono is my friend. He's local here in Washington, D.C. He's a proprietor of a very popular restaurant called Hakuna Matata. I think it's the only East African restaurant in the DMV area. He's also a lover of basketball. His home country team, the City Oilers, have nothing but disappointed.
It's been tough for the Oilers,
it's
man.
It's been tough, yeah.
Yes, yes. You know. The Oilers are not the well-oiled machine that we thought they were.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Come on.
I'm going to keep those pants for my boy, Philo. He's about to get here soon. So.
It's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be ups and downs.
He needs to have that job done. Here.
Absolutely.
But Paul, it's good to have you, man. Thank you for joining us.
No, I appreciate this.
You know, it's a Saturday morning, so when I call on you, my guy, and you respond, I really appreciate it. We're about to watch the finals. This is history in the making.
Absolutely.
The fourth playoff game we were watching of the Basketball Africa League. What a season, man.
I mean, it's going to be the first trophy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
For
either team.
Yes.
It's going to be the first time either team. And interestingly enough, also, if Petro is able to win, this will be the first time that anyone outside of a North African team wins.
Yeah.
So, you know, Libya is trying to keep it up top, and Petro's trying to bring it down. So
they've been flawless.
It's a fight of
both sides of the
continent. Tectonic ship, a tectonic fight. Yeah, but we are watching live video coming in from Kigali, the BK Arena. In Kigali, Rwanda, the lights are still out, but we see the players out there shooting the ball, you know, warming it up a little bit, just feeling the vibe. They must have the nerves right now, like just being this moment. It's a heavy moment.
Oh, yeah.
It has to weigh heavily on either one of them, Paul.
Yeah.
Just for you to be at this moment trying to, you know, this is the biggest trophy, basketball trophy on the continent
now. Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, I mean, I'm really proud of this, of the ball and the tournament, you know, and I think it's great timing for us, you know, that the NBA finals are now kind of taking a rest and they begin June 6th. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hoping that, you know, you know, people even outside of Africa tuning in and, you know, going to take a look at the quality of basketball that's coming up, you know?
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
You know, very proud of Ball and what these, you know, what, you know, the organization is doing.
I love these overlaps whenever they happen. I don't know whether this was by design
that we have.
It's perfectly timed.
I know,
right?
It's really, it's really perfectly timed. Yeah. But Paul, why don't you give us a little update on what is happening on the NBS side of things? I know your boys, the Heat. You know, when we started, when you first came, I think the Heat had just lost in the preseason.
Yeah, you know, we were limping in. You know,
I think it was actually in the playoffs when it was in the playoffs.
It was in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
so how are things looking so far?
I mean, we haven't signed anybody else. We're doing our homework. You know, there's some, you know, rumors going around here and there. You know, but you know, I think most of this will come after the NBA. You know, after the finals are done, then teams are going to look at, you know, who's free, who's available, and who to sign.
Yeah.
You know, but going to the I mean, it's, you know, Dallas Mavericks, you know, versus the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
You know, and I know the
Kyrie's
Boston
going
Celtics,
back home. Kyrie's going back to Boston.
They said,
exactly.
They said the
Garden.
they put it up. They said the story of Kyrie.
That's right. Yeah. But you can imagine how this has gone full circle around for
right,
Kyrie.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right, absolutely. I'm so happy for that guy, man.
Yeah, and I'm vouching
phenomenal.
For him. I'm going for Dallas for me.
Yeah, yeah. Me too,
you
man.
Know, cause I,
who do you got?
To be honest with you, if I'm looking at it from the perspective of, like, who do I want to win?
Yeah.
For sure, the Mavs. But the issue that I have with it is that the Celtics, if we looked at this playoffs, we've seen that there's certain teams that are built to beat different teams, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like Minnesota's structure was built just to beat Jokic and the Nuggets with the three big man setup.
Yeah, right.
If you look at this setup of the Boston Celtics, it really is, they're matched up really well against the Mavs. That's the problem.
Mm.
So the Mavs are going to have to rely on anybody outside of Luka and Kyrie who can give you 30, 35 a night. But who is the next guy?
Right.
To me, I'm not worried about Kyrie. I'm not worried about Luka.
Right.
We need a third guy from the Dallas Mavericks to come out and consistently
PJ
is there.
Yeah, yeah.
Tim Hardaway Jr. potentially. He still hasn't had a breakout game, and we know he could go off.
Yeah.
So they have the personnel.
The ability, yes.
It's there. The problem is, if you look at the Celtics, though,
just
look at the starting lineup, right?
Yeah.
You got a guy like Derek White, who's great on both sides of the court.
Yeah.
You got Jrue Holiday, great on both sides. You got Jason Tatum, great on both sides. Jaylen Brown, great on both sides. They're saying potentially Porzingis is going to be back.
Yeah,
the Porzingis man apparently is waiting in the covers
to pop
to
out.
To pounce,
right?
Yeah,
like, surprise!
Let's just hope he's going to be there for the whole, you know.
They might
use him as a decoy.
Yes,
yeah.
He just
right?
has to sit on the bench and then just create the impression
that he can
come in anytime. He might be brought in 5 minutes. This guy just stands.
Yeah.
Just how psychologically impactful it would be on the Mavs.
But also, we didn't also talk about, though, coaching. Jason Kidd is going to out-coach and run circles around Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Yeah.
Mazzulla has been given the team of teams on a silver platter.
Yes. And he has done well with it.
Decent, but to be honest with you, it's kind of like, you know, when the airplane is on, once you take off and you put it on autopilot, I can sit on the chair too,
man.
I can't land it. You know? I can't land or take off.
Are you saying he's autopilot? Mazzulla is autopiloting the Mavericks this whole time.
I'm saying potentially. Because look at the talent that he has around him and the East, to be honest with you. If that Boston Celtics team was in the West, do you think they keep that same record? The East is exponentially weaker than they faced a, you know, injury ridden playoffs right on the East. So I think a lot of things worked out for them. They're a great young talented team. You know, if they're able to pull this off, kudos.
Yeah.
Great to them.
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm telling
Jason Kidd, the
Mavs
and
the guys are coming. They're coming.
You know. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree with you. In case you're just joining us, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. I'm joined in studio with my partner, Mokbel Yabaro. And we have a guest, Paul Ofuono, joining us. We're bringing you live coverage of the Basketball Africa League playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. The tip-off will be in a few minutes. It's 9:44 here in Washington, D.C. I believe it's around 4:44 in Kigali. Tip-off is very soon, in about 15 minutes. But in the meantime, we'll be chopping it up basketball here. Let's see what we got on the, not what do we call it, on the audibles.
Yeah.
On deck, on deck, on deck. Rivers Hoopers won a decisive third-place victory, 80-57, over the Cape Town Tigers. We posed the question of what legacy Will Perry of the Rivers Hoopers would like to leave in the BAL, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I hope, like, when I'm done, people remember me, that's all, you know? And not that I was, like, some great player or anything, but, like, that my teammates enjoy playing with me, they have good stories about me, so that's the type of legacy I'm trying to leave.
Will Perry. He says he wants to leave a legacy where he's remembered by his teammates as having been a good team player. And Mark Bill, you and I have talked about these, you know, quote unquote journeymen in the BAL, yeah, that we don't feel like they have a connection to the team. They just come in postseason, you know, because most of these teams, for you to make it to the BAL, you have to have won the local league. And usually what happens is after they win the local league, then these teams start acquiring, yeah, new players, you know, journeyman players, former, right, NBA G Leaguers, right, or former NBA players, mm-hmm, who were drafted in 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying career. Will Perry is the same guy, but I'm saying in general, yeah, most of these guys come in with a singular goal of, like, advancing their own personal interests.
Right.
Put as many buckets as possible. And then at the end of the day, the team is not doing very well, regardless of how well the one individual is doing. Will Perry, though, has been different.
Absolutely. No, I agree. I think Will Perry, because of the fact that, you know, he's been able to stay in this league since pretty much inception, has had the ability to, you know, go back and forth, and teams have looked at him and said, look, this is a guy who not only gets his own buckets or, right, gets his own baskets, but he also makes the team better. We saw in his last two games that maybe he didn't have the greatest shooting performances, but he was still adding different kind of value, right?
Yeah.
He was adding value in, you know, assisting, in, you know, playing defense, playing hard-nosed basketball. So a guy like Will Perry, I don't put him in that conversation of a journeyman that's really out here for himself.
Right.
He's really out here for the team, and I think that's why the Rivers Hoopers picked him up. Another player that we, you know, had a conversation with is a young man by the name of Divine Eke. He was the leading scorer in their victory over the Cape Town Tigers. We asked him what his aspirations are outside of the BAL after the season is done, and this is what he had to say.
That's an interesting question. Like, I just go with the win. Obviously, like, I want to play at the highest level, no matter if that's EuroLeague, Euro Cup, the NBA. Like, I just go with the win, you know, like, whatever my agents or my coaches want to help me with or think is the best decision, that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, so as we heard, Paul, Divine basically just saying, look, he understands that he came here to do what he had to do for BAL, but outside of that, he doesn't really have a strategic plan maybe set in play, but whatever options are open. What do you think that does for him basically coming in third place and, you know, being a front man of sorts for this Rivers Hoopers team?
I mean, there's plenty of opportunity. You know, there's plenty of opportunity. And you know, like I spoke with, Mr. Mvogany, you know, when these journeymen come in, you know, and I think, you know, it's a different culture.
Right.
You know, you look at all these other teams, especially in the NBA, they build a culture through longevity and getting to know each other.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, yeah, you play well, you can make the points, you can get a team to where it's supposed to be, but the ultimate goal is winning that, you know, that cup.
100%.
You know, so, you know, kudos to him. I mean, yes, you know, some of them work out, some of them don't.
Right.
You know, so, you know, my thing is, you know, we kind of need a so-called, I would say, the D-League like we have over here.
Yeah.
And kind of get that local talent in and see what you have.
I love that point. Look, yeah, the reason why I like that point so much is I think that the BAL has done a good job as the seasons have progressed,
yeah,
to make the teams more African local players more so than how it was season one, season two.
Yeah.
But I think, like, even Jax, we spoke about, like, a team great example, City Oilers, right?
Yeah.
City Oilers wins the league, right, with their core team, and then basically that team is not even existing. That team is not even existing. So for me, it's like, man, not only is that not fair to the players that won the league, number one, right? You just put that aside. You win the league to play in the tournament, and then you get a bunch of randoms to come in and showcase that they are the City Oilers. No, they're not. The City Oilers are the guys that won the league.
The guys that won, right. Exactly.
We should also believe in our talent on the ground. You know, that's the only way that the leagues in Africa are continually going to get stronger.
Yeah.
A great example that we had was the Egyptian league, right?
Yeah.
The Egyptian league is very strong.
Very
Why?
Strong.
You got a team like Zamalek who comes and performs season one, wins BAL.
Yeah.
They get knocked out. Al Ahly takes over. And then Al Ahly wins season three.
Right.
So that shows you how healthy the league is, right?
Yes. Yes.
So we have to continue to push the health of our leagues on the continent by allowing our local players the opportunity to go and play against these other players,
you know? Otherwise, I mean, what's the purpose
of this? What are we doing? We're just facilitating another outlet for players who already had other opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. You've had your time.
Yeah.
You know, let these young guys also get their moment.
Yes.
You know, again, this the reason why the NBA expanded to the continent is they realize the potential and the opportunity on the continent, the youngest continent, you know, average age under 21. That is, I know, for any league aside from maybe the NFL.
And I'm telling you, even American football, Africans can play that game because Africans play rugby.
Yes,
and to me, rugby is a tougher sport than football.
Absolutely.
Because you're not really wearing all those
padding.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
You know, so
it's about, I guess, infrastructure, you know, but also some of these games are more expensive to play than to, you know what I'm saying, buying the whatever
the
helmet, the gear.
Right.
So it's much more expensive. But again, going back to a point, is that, you know, the NBA realizes the potential on the continent. They want to groom talent, eventually create a solid league, and yet we're not seeing these young people on the court. We see the same individuals rotating from Team A, B, C, D, E, who we have seen before play in Europe and here in the US, either in the G League or in the NBA. Where are the kids that are winning the local games to propel these teams to where they are? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think the kids are there.
Yeah.
You know, do we lack, you know, a very good scouting, you know, a scouting crew, you know, for Africa? Maybe we do.
Possibly.
You know?
Maybe that's the opportunity for you. I mean, that's the other thing about this is, you know, the opportunities right now being created by the BAL being on the continent that we need people to start, you know, not just playing basketball, but there are other avenues to actually,
develop
the game, whether you become an agent, where you become a coach, support staff, all these things. I mean, it's only 4 years. The league is still very much young and everything is still kind of new. They're trying out different things. Maybe in next year, what we see. And that's the other thing is that we've seen things get better progressively. I was worried like year number two, year number three, I felt like maybe things are, you know, might slide backwards a little bit in so many. I'm talking about different aspects of the BAL. But this year has proven that they know what they're doing. Even having expanded to South Africa for the first time and South Africa hosting the Kalahari Conference, there were not so many issues where you'd say maybe they were kind of blindsided by whether it's logistics, whatever, organizationally. Things seem to have been working so well for BAL, and that gives me an impression that it's just going to get better and better going forward.
I would definitely agree. I think as the seasons have progressed, we have seen so much growth in different sectors and aspects of the game. This year, to me, the one of the most impressive aspects of it was the social and cultural aspect of it, where you immerse sports and culture, because those are two things that are naturally synonymous,
absolutely.
Right? So you have actors and influencers and, you know, the who's of who's sitting front row, making sure that, you know, they're posting on their socials, getting social media involvement and telling people, look, I'm your favorite actor. I'm gonna be at the game.
Yeah,
come pull up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
That, that was, you know, marketing wise, this year I think they did a much better job because again, marketing is everything.
Absolutely.
You could have a very solid league, solid players, but if you're not marketing them right, and people are not involved and energized. And then you have a situation like last year in Dakar where the games were attended by like almost 0% the arena, which is the biggest arena in Africa, in Dakar, basketball arena, was almost empty most of the games, like 90% of the games. And you're asking yourself,
so
like,
much talent in
absolutely. But let's see what else we have. Noel Obadia of the APR, that is Armée Patriotique Rwandais. The running team was one of their leading scorers in the group phase, but after unfortunately getting hurt, it drastically changed the course of the team. I mean, for the team, our colleague Annette Mugabo had asked him what he took from the BAL this season, and this is what he said.
The main thing I took from the BAL is just playing hard. A lot of these teams play very hard, and it goes to show that if you play hard, you can put your team in a better position to win. And every game was a fight, and I like that. The atmosphere was great. I think that was the main thing I took from the BAO, is just how hard people play.
And a follow-up question for Noel was why he thinks they fell short and they were unable to qualify for the playoffs in Kigali. This was the first season where a Rwandan team did not get to play at home for the playoffs. Let's see what his thought on this.
I think we fell short mainly because of injuries. First round, we went 2-1. Second round, we didn't win a game, you know. So I think injuries really played a part in that. And honestly, I felt like we could have won all the games. So I can't really just say injuries, but I'd say we fell short because I feel like some teams maybe played a little harder than us. Some teams probably wanted it a little bit more. But at the end of the day, if me and Adonis don't get hurt, we'll be playing at BK Arena next week. So, you know, but that's part of the game. It happens. It's life. All we can do is just move forward and see what happens next year.
Absolutely. Like I said, you can't argue with that. They had a solid start, but they were plagued by injuries, unfortunately.
First go-around, first game, because everybody in the tournament plays each other twice, right?
Yes.
So first time they played all the teams, they were 2-1.
Absolutely.
So you're 2-1 if you keep the same pace, you know?
Unfortunately, injuries. But here, I got to say this. I have to give it up for the Rwandan guys who organize, you know, the BK Arena guys.
Yeah.
I was worried that, you know, the lack of a local team representing in this tournament will affect the playoffs, the excitement in Kigali for the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen nothing but a full BK Arena, and that means something. Matter of fact, the president of Rwanda himself has been attending these games. So
that's huge.
Yeah, that's, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. It does a lot for the
His
game.
His wife tagged along, didn't she?
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but to basically have a filled arena full of basketball fans but not have a specific local team to cheer for, it really shows you how excited and galvanized the public of Rwanda are towards the game of basketball.
Absolutely.
Yes. So it's what a great choice.
And it starts from the top. If the main man is there, then everybody else falls through, you know what I'm saying? And
phenomenal.
That is a deliberate strategy which has really worked well. And if they continue this, I don't know whether they'll have they still have the contract with the BAL to host season 5. Mm-hmm. But if they do, I think we expect bigger things. I know they're building another stadium in Kigali right now. You know, they're making sports kind of a cornerstone of their economic revival.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really investing both emotionally and economically into these games, into sports, but especially so basketball. But in case you're just joining us, my name is Jackson Bunganyi. I'm with Makbel Yabaro and Paul Ofuono. We'll be joined shortly with Phil Luzi, who's a former player of the City Oilers of Uganda. City Oilers did not make it to the playoffs, but at least we have somebody to represent them here on the microphone this morning. It's a game that is going to
I guess it's a north-south matchup today.
Heavy clash, man. Heavy clash. I'm just trying to see when the East is going to get involved in the party, man. Like, that's all I'm trying to see, you know.
We need a Somali team, first of all, to represent.
Listen, man, yeah. My guys are ready, man.
Yeah, they're ready.
I mean,
they're ready.
You need to be going back
I'm
home
old,
and
man.
Getting
I'm old,
people.
Man.
You don't have to shoot the rope. You need to train. You've got the talent. Yeah. You've got the talent. Yeah, we about to head to Kigali. I love when that moment happens. We see these the graphic just roll on the screen, and we know
showing us some of the
showtime is about to start.
Yeah.
Showtime never stopped here in Studio 3. We are here in when the game is on or when the game is off.
Right.
Listen, also, you know, if you're interested in our other programming, we have all types of programming. You can check out my show, The Red Carpet, and my podcast, Upfront. We, you know, Mark Bill does sports for the African News Tonight. We have shows like Daybreak Africa, our daily news show. We have African News Tonight. We have Africa 54, the TV show. You can stream these shows all online, but also whether you're, you know, listening in on our FM stations or our affiliate stations around the world, just hit us up. I have a Facebook page. Upfront, search VOA Upfront. We're almost a million strong. Just, you know, go into my DM, slide in my DM Jackson, I was listening to you chopping it up with Mark Bill and Paul.
We'll try to get to you.
Yeah, we'll try to get to you. We'll respond. I know sometimes you get these automated responses and you're like, no, Jackson is not checking these. You know, sometimes I get in there. Right. But yeah, we love to get some feedback and, you know, whether you watch these games or even listen to other shows.
Right.
Again, voaafrica.com. And on our social medias, VOA Africa on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on YouTube, where you can watch lots of our videos. We have a lot of content on there. Listen, there you can watch as many cat videos, but if you want to watch a really nice program, Africa 54 brings you news every day. Upfront is on there. Red Carpet, we have a lot of entertainment and cultural content. You can watch, spend the day, learn some new things. But today we are talking basketball in Studio 3. Mockbill, talk to me, boy. What is going on today? The playoffs, we have live coverage. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm trying to hear what Petro's coach wants to say. Let's go
to Kigali.
I think Petro de Luanda have experience for the finals. In this moment, the team is very good concentration. As a team, is a very good feeling in the player, as a coaches. I think arrived in a good moment for play the final.
And the starting five for Petro de Luanda.
Trying to figure out the combinations here, Coach Morena. He goes with Marky Cummings, who comes into the starting lineup alongside Yannick Moreira. Lukini Gonsalves will try and shore up that front court alongside Grifate Buyamba. And Dresden Domingos picks up another start at the point guard position.
Let's catch up with Alali Libya and hear from their coach.
Coach, you talk about inexperience, but you're the first team from the road to the BAL to make it to the final. You're playing against Petro, who are playing their second final here in the BAL. What are you expecting today?
We're expecting to win the game.
And how will you go about that?
But you know what? First, with the good controlling of the game, controlling of the... there is always two things most important in basketball. To controlling the ball, that means less turnovers, and rebound, to control rebound. If we control the ball with a low number of turnovers and good rebound, I think we have the chance to beat them.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you very much.
Take a look at the starting five here for Alali Libya.
Universally great scorer Kevin Murphy alongside Robert Golden has come in and really added impetus to the offense. Ben Alhaj picking up another start alongside that front court duo that has been difficult to stop throughout the Basketball Africa League. Ding and the BAL's leading scorer Joel Atchewell.
So this is it. This is the final cue. Welcome
and hello.
Well, welcome and hello. As we get a chance to just frame up this game. And Luel Achua, we talked about him, 27 points. And Yannick Moreira, that's going to be a battle inside the paint. It's the first time that Alali Libya and Petro de Luanda are facing off in BAL history. And it's all going to unfold here in the final.
Absolutely. Asha Kumigisha, how are you? How are you feeling this? What the tension, a little bit of tension in the air ahead of this final, how exciting.
It is definitely going to be very electrifying here. You can see the stadium and the arena has been set for that final here in season four.
Wonderful. We are ready to get down to business. This is it. We've had five-star entertainment. We've had buzzer beaters galore, BAL records broken, and new teams on the continent here in this competition shining. Drama, a go-go. It's been fabulous.
Well, Solo Diabate looking for his third title. Carlos Moraes, the basketball legend from Angola, looking for his first. This is the fourth time they've been in the playoffs. It should be a great one.
Yeah, and Usher, we've got the officials here as well, haven't we?
Yeah, of course. Hortensia Sanchez is the crew chief here today. Jean Sever Ruhamiriza from Rwanda and Jan Davidson from Madagascar.
Very interesting scenario here. Petro de Luanda coming through second in the Kalahari Conference. Enter the fray, Petro de Luanda and Alali Libya. This is it. This is the final. The BAL Kings will be crowned today. Lukeni swings it out to Glofate Buyamba. Lovely roll away from his man, Achuel. And Moreira delivers the first points. And he picks up the foul.
Experienced, beautiful start here for Petro de Luanda. We've seen the footwork of Yannick Moreira throughout conference play, and they get him a touch early. This might be a strategy to get Joe Luel Achuel off the floor and maybe force rotation from Coach Moreno.
And there is Sergio Moreno, the Spanish coach in charge, 58 years of age, trying to work his magic. Coached in Spain, but coached a lot of many years in Mexico in the GBC. Well, the extra point doesn't fall, it's just those 2 points, and now it's a chance for Alali Libya to get themselves into the fray. Here is Trey Golden, American recruit for Alali Libya, going around Buyamba, mid-range two, nice, oh, it just comes back out. Moreira with the rebounds, and he's been fouled by Achuel. Now, this is a little bit problematic because that might be foul number two for the main man and the Sultan Sudan forward.
Well, it's Ben El Hajj right there who's going to be called for the foul. And he picks up the foul, and it will be the second team foul, and it's not going to be on Achuel, so maybe not so much drama just yet.
Bit lucky there, he was, and well, that will go down well with his coach, Ivan Jeremic, of course, of Serbia. Moreira. Markeef Cummings back out to Lukeni. Lukeni gets rid of his man, swung back out. Cummings for a long range shot. Rebound time. And Kevin Murphy picks up the pieces at the back.
It was interesting listening to Coach Jeremic and his assessment of the game, talking about taking care of the basketball, which they don't do there, and the importance of rebounding in this contest.
Yeah, it's going to be important, isn't it? When you actually look at the rebounds, Alali Libya, second overall in rebounds, 364, second behind Hoopers, of course, which obviously means that they're big business in the paint.
Yeah, 47 points in the paint, they average, and that's first in the Basketball Africa League, and that's because of the presence of Joe Luel Achuel inside the paint.
Comes back out, picked up by Domingos. Moreira goes, oh, it's a nice two as well. All the points scored by the big man so far.
Getting him multiple touches, and this is a clear strategy being utilized here by Coach Moreno.
It is good. Sorry, yeah, carry on, Asha.
Yeah, it is the second time that Coach Moreno is giving Yannick Moreira that kind of role in the beginning of the game, just to set the pace for both these teams. Of course, this is going to also be one of those matchups that we've seen here in the playoffs, Yannick Moreira and Achuel, as well as against Majok Deng.
That'll keep Q happy.
Yes.
Look at that. just the natural just getting in the way. You can see what Domingos was trying to do. A little bit of a difference in size, to say the least.
And it's all that athleticism patrolling the plate. That's why he can't get into foul trouble. It's the two-way aspect of his game that's really important for Al Ahly Libya.
Well, that's a great charge through. He deals with Cummings beautifully. 2 points in the bag.
Matchups inside. Got to figure it out. But that's a great first take for Achuel down low.
Actually needed that, I think, you know, just to, you know, calm them down a little bit. That's Bouyamba driving through the paint. Look at Domingos trying to steal the ball down into the corner. Back to Murphy. Murphy, here he is. Kevin Murphy goes up for his shot, and there's a foul by Domingos.
Murphy was the early scoring leader in the Basketball Africa League before Achuel got that 42-point game. He is the second primary point in the offense. He still gives them 16 points or 17 points a game, and at a high percentage, 37% inside. He is a 40% three-point shooter.
And it goes from the free throw line. Murphy gets his first point today.
Tennessee Tech is where played his college basketball, and also spent some time in the NBA D League. Was all D League first team in 2014. Kevin Murphy.
He comes to play in the Summer League with the Warriors as well. Is Domingos, and his quick transition. Bouyamba gets dealt with. Ben Elhazen that comes out. Domingos for three. Nope, doesn't fall. Trey Gordon makes it safe at the back.
Slight sense of nerves here as the ball struggles to just walk through the rim for both teams.
Achuel. Matchup Deng still waiting for him to pick up the ball. I don't think he's touched it just yet. We're nearly 3 minutes in. Well, he's gone right through. Well, he attempted a little tip in and it goes out of play. It will be Al Ahly Libya will pick up possession once again. The bench very reactive there. Literally coming out of their seats for anything that's going their way.
Oh, that's a lot of contact inside the paint. And there were three bumps there from Achuel before Cummings eventually tried to sell the flop, but it doesn't get caught by the referees.
Trey Gordon does well. That's beautifully done there by Majok Deng of South Sudan.
Excellent execution. He finds a backdoor cut. Nice pass. And excellent finish from Deng.
Luke Kenny drives through. That's nicely done. Morea on more points, and that's all of the points for Petro de Luanda coming from the big man.
All points coming in the paint as they continue to just attack inside here, Petro de Luanda.
He was the MVP against the Cape Town Tigers, of course, put in a very strong performance. There's Murphy that unselfishly gets the ball to Antrill, and he delivers and gets fouled at the same time.
His high percentage inside, 60% from the field. You look at the pass off, they get the shooter in the air. It's a tactic we've seen employed well. Once the shot blocker is up in the air, nothing he can do. Pass off to Achuel, and he finishes close range.
Achuel, record BAL scorer now with the 42 points that he scored in the Nile Conference, of course, for Al Ahly Libya when they finished second behind the Arite leaders, Al Ahly of Egypt, defending champions.
South Sudanese international, played for them in the World Cup qualifiers.
Looking to try and get himself a spot on in the team for Lil Deng, South Sudan at the Olympics. Oh, Domingos! Oh, that is just top quality. Corner three.
Searching for it and eventually finds it. That's his third connection in his playoffs from long range.
Trey Golden down into the corner. Deng goes up and goes in. Three for that man, Deng. And you saw what was happening at the other end.
It's a shot he likes to take, and then quickly back the other way.
Yeah, Cummings getting the two there. That's a quick transition. And they've done that twice now. They're spotting and they're saying, they're not getting back quickly. Let's fling the ball right up the other end.
Yeah. Of course, Al Ahly Libya were caught sleeping there when they were reacting to that scoring from Majok Deng.
Yeah, very, very quick reaction. And that's what you need to do. 5:25, and we're all square at 11 points apiece in this final. The fourth season, of course, and a new champion, a new Kings of Africa will be crowned. And having seen Zamalek, having seen US Monastir and Al Ahly, it's all about North Africa. And we've still got a North African team from Libya here flying the flag. Or will it go Petra and Luanda? A little bit sub-Sahara activity.
Yep, that's the question that we're going to get an answer to in the next 40 minutes.
Luke Annie, quick transition. Buyamba takes the pass nicely. Moreira coming through, floats one over the top. The little tipping doesn't happen, and the battle for possession continues. Nicely done there from Ben Elhadj, the Libyan international. Gordon for three!
Hot hands, Golden. You can't leave him open. He's got the golden touch as he opens up the scoring from the three-point line.
Not a bad way to open your account.
That's his 12th three-pointer in the playoffs.
Good numbers, Q. Oh, look at that. Chilledon now dropping in to say hello. I can also shoot from long range.
Yep, Dindal, competent shooter. He gets an open look and he makes the count, tying it up.
The tussle continues. Kevin Murphy goes for a three. Back off the metal. Lovely flick. Gonsalves, Lukeni dunks the ball. How about that for Dundee? We're talking about his snake fast hands. That was super quick.
He's had an immediate impact. He's coming in for Domingos. You see a quick three. And now Petro de Luanda go into a 2-3 zone. It's going to be an interesting time for Alaki Libya.
Well, this is the matchup that we love to see. A little bit of, look at that, Dundee. What is he doing? He's just come here and saying, yeah, I'm going to score some big time points too.
Well, and that is the danger. Golden has added so much shooting to the exterior for Al Ahly Libya. You can't necessarily go zone against him.
Golden just absolutely outstanding there. And we can see that there's been another foul. 16-17, 3:46 left in this first quarter. Timeout has been called. And Al Ahly Libya lead by a single point. So let's have a look at that.
Timeout has just happened. So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts on this first quarter already? Game is very, very tight.
Very tight.
Looking
very
like
tight.
It could go either way. 16-17, Al Ahly Libya leads by 1 point. What do you guys think?
It's too early to call it.
I mean, both teams started off nervous, you know.
Yeah.
But I think they're getting comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, we're beginning to see, you know, some shots go up. You know, guys getting comfortable, giving some, you know, some good signs.
I mean,
once they make their three.
This is a big moment
so.
For both of them, for both the teams. You know, this moment is definitely not lost on them. Mm-hmm. You can see, and if they continue, I like to see this type of competition.
Right.
You know, this is playoff level type competition. Yeah. You don't let the guy just, you know, run, make the runs on you and create a hole for you that will be tough for you to dig yourself out of.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, 1 point, two, three, four, you know, point difference. But even in the preseason, we saw that the teams are able to overcome them. Mm-hmm. Except that for the finals game, you know, this is it. You cannot, afford to mess up. You cannot afford to lose sight. Philo has been in these tough situations. What is the mindset when you're on the court for such a finals game like this?
No, I mean, in the final, you have, this is where you separate the really good, the superstars from the stars.
The boys from the men.
The boys from the men. So this is where you see the guys who come in tight and those who come in already loose. Mm. So yeah, you're going to have a tough game, but by the second quarter, I'm pretty sure you'll have guys being a bit loose, as Paul was saying, shots will be dropping. You'll have a few dunks here and there, so it looks like it's going to be an exciting game all the way to the wire.
Absolutely. Let's go back to Kigali.
Falling into the hands and the possession of this man, Lukeni. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, boom, boom, boom has been the story of the three-point line for Al Ahly Libya. You know, some great three-point shooting there from that man, Golden. You can't leave him open as he continues to be a perimeter threat. He's added 21.3 points per game. and he's hit from the three-point line at 44%. That's his 13th make in this competition.
It's an interesting mix that he's actually got here, Coach Jaramich. Usher, what did you pick up from that timeout?
Yes, Coach Sergio Moreno, of course, concerned about the three-point shooting of Al Ahly Libya. They're 3-4-4, shooting at 75% behind the arc. He wants Petro de Luanda to continue to put pressure because they really had acres of space with that shooting earlier before.
Well, the attempt from Achuel trying to go over the top, but Moreira doing the business. Solo Diabate goes for a three. It's picked up by Dundau, back off the metal. It's a one-point game, and it's the Angolan champions who are in command momentarily. Cummins. Nice. Sneaked over the line there, isn't he? It's going to be Diabate, the smiling assassin from the Cote d'Ivoire, who will get possession back.
And such small margins there are on each possession. It is gold, the ball, in the hands of the defensive and offensive team.
This is an interesting battle there between Dundau and Diabate. Nicely done. That is a great score from Golden. Look at that. Deals with Johnny Pedro in the process.
Well, you can't put a fire out with a petrol pump. You know, Golden gets inside and he gets a touch there, and the foul just adds a little bit more fuel, and Golden goes up to 8 points.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't want to pour oil on the fire, you know, when it's already burning, because you can see that when Golden is lit up, you know that everything is going to go his way.
Well, he's a dynamic scorer and has just lit the BAL alight.
18-20 it is, with Al Ahly Libya in command as Dundau. Luke Henny back to Marky Cummins. Johnny Pedro flings it back out as a fake and a drive through. Back out, Muyamba goes for a beautiful scoring there. Look at that. Straight up and a three-pointer on the edge of the arc, but just outside.
You have to love ball distribution, Muyamba, and the catch and shoot, and he makes the wide open shot.
Yeah, very impressed by Muyamba. He's getting himself in the starting five since we arrived in Kigali, and he definitely deserves to be there because he adds in fast, furious, and very swift basketball activity on the floor. Johnny Pedro tries to get the rebound, picked up there by Deng. Right, nice turn. Murphy. Oh, well, there's a foul that's been committed, and it's an offensive, so it will be Pedro Luando who pick up possession.
Both players just trying to be a little bit too inventive. You have a look here, Murphy. He goes right, trying to drop off the pass. Cummins puts his body in the way, and he picks up the offensive foul. On the other side, Lucchini just needed to be a bit more aggressive and finish that play instead of looking for the pass underneath the rim.
Well, that was their fourth team foul for Al Ahly Libya, but Petro on 5-2, 0-2 to go.
And Nicholas Fox making his way in. You talk about dynamic scorer. He might add a little scoring punch for this Petro de Luanda team.
Yeah, three-point shooter, long-distance flamethrower when it comes to shooting big time shots, and here he goes. Oh my, bring it on. That is just sumptuous. He just spills his fine form in from the semis into the final.
Right there, first touch, first shot, first make. It's Faustastic.
I love it. Solo Diabate. Here he is, the Ivorian, goes for one himself. It comes off the front of the rim. Dundau accelerates, of course he does. Look at him all the way. No, he's going to just slow it down momentarily. Into the middle. Johnny Pedro, done one hand. Do it big time.
Well, they've done well. Every time they get a transition opportunity, they try to get there before the defense sets up. That's a great take and a superb finish by Pedro.
6-point lead. Oh, just good battling. Dundau will win that every time. Oh, he's trying to get the ball, but pick it up. It goes back out. Faust goes for three. But I'm afraid that that's not going to count. Just treading over the line.
Yeah, he tried to set his feet. He was aware that he was out of bounds here. Childa Dundau, you look at the setup. Cut right through the lane, and he makes the count there. Johnny Pedro.
To the last minute, Usher, and tit for tat battle here, but Petro just moving 6 points ahead.
Yeah, it's just the second turnover for Petro de Luanda. That's how efficient they've been here, trying to score on every possession, but now they have to play defense on this particular possession to try and stop Al Ahly Libya.
Murphy goes up for the mid-range two, it's swatted down. And there's a foul that's been committed there, I think, and it's going to be Al Ahly Libya who get possession. Cummins, I think, picks up the foul.
Yeah, it is Cummins. I think there was a bit of a tussle off the ball. And the holding core comes in. Cummins will pick up that foul. It's a very physical battle inside the painted area between these two bigs.
Atchell goes to the free throw line because he was the one who was getting snagged and caught up. Of course, whenever the Giants' Sudanese player just gets tangled up in the paint, you know that, you know, there's something that could go his way. As we see this, there it is. It's 50-50 now, isn't it? You know, he's getting tangled up a little bit.
Certainly is, and there are five turnovers here for Al Ahly Libya in this first quarter. I go back to Coach Jerry Mitchell's talk about taking care of the basketball and how important that is. That's unconventional for this the North African Libyan champions.
And it goes for Atchell, and Atchell up to 7 points. Golden leading for Al Ahly Libya. 22 seconds remaining, differential of about three. Let's see what they can do. Dundau needs the screen. Oh, that's excellent work there from... Look at what Diabate's doing. 11 seconds to go. And he gets a fantastic steal and score from that.
That might spark the Al Ahly Libya. Love it.
Oh! Close.
That was really close. And a work here from Solo Diabate to close out the quarter for Al Ahly Libya.
26-24. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
All right, 26-22. The momentum seems to be on Petro de Luanda's side. In case you're just joining us, this is VOA special coverage of the Basketball Africa League playoff finals in Kigali, Rwanda. We are bringing it to you live here from Studio 3. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm in studio with my guy, Mark Bell Yabaro.
Yes, sir.
We are with Paul Ofuono and finally Philip Luzi, a former player with the City Oilers, finally joined us. After a long night, I assume.
he was, you know, like, watching the games and doing research, prepping.
I was doing research. I was doing research.
Just say you've been fishing a while. It's okay.
It's the end of the first quarter. It's only a 2-point difference. Yes. This is the game. Right here, we've been building up to this moment, and we love to see this type of games where it's only a 2-point difference. You know, both teams are invested. They're in it to win it, Mark Bell.
Yeah, to me, what I'm seeing is, like, they're constantly doing adjustments, in-game adjustments. These are the type of things that, you know, when teams go on runs, it's imperative that coaches make sure that the momentum doesn't shift too far on either side. But great selection of, you know, I was really confused initially as to why Nicholas Faust wasn't playing.
Right.
Maybe coach was holding off. Maybe
as soon as you pointed it out,
he scored quick three steps.
Coach
up.
Coach heard you. Coach was
like, "Look, I'm keeping him as a secret weapon."
Yes.
He pulled them in. You know, scored instantly. Was able to create some impact for them. But I feel like Al Ahly is really there, making sure that the game doesn't get too far.
Absolutely. And let's go back to Kigali. Well, they're about to, I think, the... All right, let's look at some of the stats. 26-24, field goals percentage is 47 for Al Ahly, 50, 8 assists, 6 assists, 3 for Petro de Luanda, 1 steal. There's an even matching. I mean, look at the
three-point
average. Even
4-7,
that is
to 3-6.
And that is showing for us that, you know, looking at this, you can see that both teams are evenly matched in so many ways. Let's go back to Kigali.
Coach Yaramich, the emphasis to put more pressure on Petro de Luanda, and of course celebration there for Solo Diabate for that last steal in the last possession before he could go and score the two easy points. That is exactly what Yaramich wants them to do going forward in the game.
We start the second quarter here in Kigali, the land of a thousand hills, Rwandan. Magic happening here, and let's see what Murphy does. Gets the ball out to the captain, Hamad, and into the paint it goes. A little hook over the top. It doesn't fall for Atchell. Carlos Moraes coming on. Gaku's on as well. A few changes.
And just a year ago, Solo Diabate playing for Petro de Luanda. Yeah. So just a little bit of memory lane for him on the floor.
Well, that's a travelling call going against Carlos Moraes, which is quite rare. Carlos Moraes, you know, I think that we all need to mention him and just underline his importance for African basketball, but also for Angolan basketball. What an absolute maestro he is, and what a legend of African basketball he's been.
Well, fantastic and superb legend of African basketball. 4 AfroBasket golds. He's a 9-time Angolan League champ. He's played basketball in Portugal. Tried out for the Raptors. He's just been accolade after accolade for a superstar shooting guard on the continent.
Yeah, and such a nice guy as well, Usher.
Yeah, such a nice guy, of course, on and off of the court. He's played at the 2008 Beijing Olympics and at the World Cup. But really, this BAL title is what he wants to add to his trophy cabinet.
Well, of course, Ahmad goes up for a long-range shot there, just doesn't get over the rim. Carlos Moraes, Gakou hits 3-pointers and 2-pointers, but he's also a nuisance to his opponents in the paint. He tries to go up. There's the attempt by Moreira for the rebound. Dundar, is he going to shoot a 3 from there? No, he isn't. Gakou's going to go up. Matuil makes it safe.
Well, he had the opportunity so close range. He still finds a shot in the corner. The long rebound picked up at Matuil.
Well, there's a contact there by Carlos Moraes. He gets the touch, but that was a... just made a little bit of contact, unfortunately, with Solo Diabate. Just leaning into him a little bit. I think it's on his left arm, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of talk about the two legends going to be going at it on the floor, and there they are caught up in a matchup. It's Moraes who's forced into a foul.
Yeah, it's fascinating just you know, see these players that we've seen since the first season, you know, still playing at the top level. And competing and getting themselves into semi-finals and finals constantly. It's great to see.
And Diabate looking for his third championship, his third BAL title. He'll be the only player to do that.
That is bonkers, Usher, isn't it?
It is, of course, for Solo Diabate, winning with Zamalek in Season 1, with US Monastir in Season 2. Last year falling short with this Petro team in the semi-finals, but now back at it in the final. I mean, what else can he say to prove how incredible of a player he is?
Is Gakou trying to get his mid-range too? I went to the FIBA Africa HQ in Abidjan. They got a wonderful poster of him, you know, just in the walls. And Murphy scores 2 points there in the paint. And, you know, it's wonderful because he's just got a big smile on his face. And that's how we see him. He's the nicest guy in town. As we see how many points are in the paint from the two teams, it's a one-point game. Diabate picks the ball up, goes on a wander, and there is contact, and it will be Aleli Libya who pick up possession once again. Great pass to Murphy there.
Yeah, that's another aspect of Golden's game that has been impressive, his high assist ratio on the floor. He's averaging 8.5 assists in the three games that he plays. He gets 20 points and around about 8.5 assists a game. It's incredible value on the floor.
Yeah, it's top quality, isn't it? Well, here he goes, Golden, Achuel trying to drive through over the top. Lovely touch. Look at the delicate, soft touch of Achuel over the top dealing with that man, Moreira.
That's why he's so difficult to stop. He does it whether on the right or in the low block.
Dundau speeds up, doesn't get past the wall that is the Petro, the Aleli Libya defence. Going to get a shot in Faust. Surely not, that's too far out. And a rare miss there for Nicholas Faust.
Now with the shot clock winding down, he had little option but to try and get the shot up. Shot goes up, doesn't draw any iron. It's better than a turnover sometimes, coaches will say.
It's a bit frustrating here for Petro de Luanda. 3 minutes into the second quarter, they're yet to score and have already conceded 5 points from this Al Ahly side.
Oh, that's, you know, it just rolls out, and Achuel unable to extend his tally there to past 9 points. Oh, Faust, that is just bombastic. Look at what he does.
You got to stay in front of him, Nicholas Faust. He fakes the pass and he gets a wide open shot, and he was certain that that was going to fall in.
That's the golden assist that we saw earlier.
Well, some nice defense there from Petro de Luanda, and it turns to offense as Faust makes the shot there in transition.
That's quite rare that Golden tries to, you know, float one over the top. It doesn't happen. Dundau, guaranteed points. Lovely touch. He's got such fast accelerant, but he still manages to slow it down with the touch when he's going up the layup.
And it really is the area that they can exploit the most. In transition, they've been great. You look at the work there from Dundau into the chest of that man, Diabate. He gets the score, and he gives Petro de Luanda a two-point lead.
31-29, time for break.
And Basketball Africa League.
You know, we're so excited. We're getting caught off guard, Bob. You know, 31-29. Petro de Luanda. Timeout has been called. 6 minutes and 13 seconds left before we get to halftime. We're seeing, we were just talking off air, Paul. What were your thoughts on Petro changing their, you know, they went away from what was working initially for them, and they're starting to fall in love with the three now?
I mean, you know, they had a couple of shots that, you know, I guess they just got, you know, too excited about it. But there was, you know, they were doing good. They were pressing. You know, they, you know, they had a couple of steals, you know, from the five steals that they were able to get, you know, out of Al Ahly Libya that, you know, created buckets. But then, you know, that excitement, they just went with, you know, like almost three straight misses of a, you know, of a three-point shot. And you almost gave Al Ahly a lead again. But, you know, I think the guy that I'm looking at is their point guard, you know, from Petroles de Luanda. You know, he's kind of brought them back. You know, he made a very good strong layup, you know, for a bucket and brought them back. And hopefully that resets their mind and they can keep going.
Like Mugbill says, know your strengths, know your strong points.
And know your weaknesses.
Know your weaknesses.
Absolutely.
Not everything needs to be shot from the three-point line. Drive, drive, drive. Phil. Talk to me. 31-29. The game, again, almost evenly matched right now. What would it take for Libya to kind of... Because I've seen a little... Their defense, not that solid. Yeah. But what would it take for them to match up, even, you know, much better than what they're doing right now?
I think they need to involve the big man into the game. Lual a bit more. Give him a few drives to the hoop. Make him feel a bit comfortable. Get him a bit energized, because he's the one that sets the pace for the team. So if he's in the game, they're going to stay in the game.
Let's go back to Kigali.
He comes onto the floor. He's been a welcome addition to Petro de Luanda in the playoffs.
Usher, a sharp shooter.
It is 5 points for both these sides in the opening 4 minutes of this game, with a solo cross scoring there to make it 6 for Al Ahly Libya. But coach Sergio Moreno is concerned about the offense for Petro. They struggle there in the opening 3 minutes. He wants it to be a little bit more flawless. Use those screens on top of the screen, but also drive into the paint.
Thank you, Asha. Carlos Moraes, Dundau, shot clock down to 5, floats one over the top, goes high, has to go high, picked up by Golders, a touch there by Dundau, and it will be a foul going against the point guard, and that will be his first.
They really have struggled a bit in the half-court set, trying to find a focal point. They went to Moreira a little bit earlier in the game, now they're trying to play through the guards, and it hasn't quite worked out yet for Petro de Luanda.
Golden, floats one over the top. That is majestic from Golden. He does serve it up beautifully, doesn't he?
11 points for Golden as he now goes inside, continuing to unlock his offensive game.
Lucchini just getting a clamp down in the corner there, and a little bit of frustration. You can see that Trey Golden and co. happy with how they hampered their attempts to score on that occasion.
First player in double digits on the floater this time, and he is a player you have to be aware of on the floor.
He's as physical, isn't he? Goes up every time, and that's a good rebound. Really nicely done there from that man, El Maghribi, the 25-year-old Libyan international.
Adding some value as soon as he gets a chance on the floor. El Maghribi,
13 of 28 field goal. Field goals to 46% for Al Ahly Libya. It's increased a lot. Moreira tries to hook one over the top himself, doesn't fall. Is Diabate to Golden.
That was great work from Al Maghribi on the coverage there on Moreira.
That's nicely done. Dan goes up. Can he get the points? No, he can't, but there is a foul that's been committed. He knew exactly what he was doing there. That was brilliant play.
Yeah, he waited just a second to make sure the timing of the cut from Dan to try and find him. And you have a look again. It's the pass here from Golden. More than the finish, it's right over the defense. Perfectly timed. And there's nothing the defense can do at that point but foul.
You know, you've got to get the hot steps right, haven't you? You know, when you're taking the ball basically in the air, you've got to really make sure that you're watching out for the trees that are growing right next to you. At the same time, you've got to get the right footwork to get yourself into that position to release your shot. Not easy.
It's not easy, and they pick up their fourth team foul here, Petro de Luanda. And Alan Olivia have yet to commit a foul in this quarter.
Same scenario happened in the first quarter, where they were giving away a few fouls as well, Usher.
Yeah, looking at Majok Deng, of course, and Achwell, they know that they're the primary centers and forwards in this game. They know they need to stay on the floor for a very long time. They've been playing heavy minutes, almost 37 for every game, and they know that that's the strategy that Petro want to do to get them out of the game. So they're getting involved on the offensive side, but also continue to be present on defense.
Deng up to 7 points now. Picked up by Lucchini into the path of Moreira. Unable to get himself up there, but I'm sorry, but that is not gonna. They get possession back, of course.
And it's offensive interference. Moreira just right there, the hand of Al Maghribi touches the rim at the wrong time. Counter bucket.
Saludi Abate accelerates, stalls. Shoots. 3 points for Diabate.
That's an aspect that he's been great at this entire season. Shot selection. He finds the time and space and he knocks down a wide open three.
Up to 50% now. 4 of 8. And they move 7 points ahead. Biggest lead so far for Ali Libya. Mouse goes up. Doesn't get a shot. Picked up by Lucchini down in the corner. Faust again. He's got an option. Outside, drops it into the path of Moreira. Oh, lovely work there in defence from Al Maghribi again. But at the other end.
He's been great coverage there on Moreira. Second possession that has been able to just stifle the scoring of the Angolan pick.
And here they go again with Chagol. Now to Deng. Deng going out for a two. Beautiful score there. Look at this lead. That's a 10-point lead for Alali Libya. And I can tell you that the Libyan commentators behind us, they're going bonkers because their team have just moved 10 points ahead.
Well, a fantastic scoring run. They moved the ball, some great shot making. And the three-point line has proved to be amazing for Alani Libya as they pull ahead here. That is their sixth and seventh make from the three-point line.
That was a big three to bring Libya to a 10-point lead. Petro de Luanda struggling a little bit with 3 minutes and 25 seconds to go in the second quarter. It does seem that the South Sudanese are really producing highly for the Libyan team. <Yeah. laughs>
We would have never seen this coalition, huh?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
South Sudan and Libya. Last time when they won, Luel was like, this is for Libya, but this is also for South Sudan. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's 10 points ahead. El Ahly able to separate themselves from Petro de Luanda. One of the reasons, like Mark Bill was saying, or the guys here in the studio, is Petro not doing the things that were working for them in that first quarter. Just, basically just perimeter shooting and, you know, doing things that are not that are easily countered by El Ahly Libya. But let's go back to Kigali.
Libya here, they're desperate to continue to ask those questions, but the instructions are very clear. Continue to drive into that paint and ask this Petro de Luanda side, you know, to step up and play that defense foul because they're in foul trouble, and then they can go to the free throw line. It's 19 points so far for El Ahly Libya in the second quarter and 7 for Petro.
Well, listen, you know, as far as I'm concerned, when you actually think of Libya, you know that they've got lots of oases that are actually in the country. And, you know, they are finding their oasis. They are finding that lovely, wonderful moment where there's a sweet place where they can get those beautiful touches and get big shots in. And that's where they are at the moment. 10-point lead. Can they improve? Well, they don't manage to get their shot on that attack. So there's a chance for Hamad, the captain. Deng. Diabate being a little bit more aggressive in defence, I think we can see. Murphy, not too many options. 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Deng for a mid-range two. And the two is perfecto.
Well, again, just great anticipation, shot selection, and shot making from Deng.
Here is Domingos back on. He's got 2 fouls, 3 points so far. As the move there from Cummins does really well. Lovely little spin and score.
Fantastic footwork. He steps right through and he finishes there. Cummins.
Kevin Murphy. Kevin Murphy trying to find a little path past that man. Lou Kenny hits the deck. Foul committed. He'll go to the free throw line.
And once again, there's just the call for contact as Cummins gets into Deng and out. Just away from the free throw line. A couple of words between referee Davidson and Cummins. You look at the work from Murphy and just on the right-hand side of the screen there, Deng. And that man Cummins just get caught up in it.
Deng is doing the business. Second player into double figures. 12 points. Moves ahead of Trey Colden.
They just have so many weapons on the floor. Alan Libby, only 4 points now for Kevin Murphy here, and he's barely seen anything off the basketball in the second quarter.
And I think it's a line violation. He'll take that shot again. Murphy to move to 5. Smooth as 35-46, 2:10 left in this first half. And there's Faust for 3. In it goes. Faust, fabulous Faust.
Well, that was a quick transition 3 again and wide open. They got to get him a couple more looks like that. He is on fire.
Diabate spins around that man, Domingos. Look at that. That is beautiful. Oh, my word. El Maghribi. Diabate. Connection.
Oh. Diabate dances into the lane and drops it right off. You have a look at the skillful work here. Wow. He hops, dances, drops off, finishes.
That is just superb, isn't it? Everybody was chasing shadows, and of course Diabate was doing the demolition job and finished off, polished off by that man Gate Al Maghribi. Right. And the foul committed. It's just the icing on the cake. Look at that. That's a big, big score for Al Ahly Libya.
Extraordinary from Diabate.
Asha, the wow factor was there.
Yeah, with anything to do with Solo Diabate, you see he has that experience, but also the cheekiness to enjoy every move.
That's a nice little touch there with Faust driving in and causing a bit of a nuisance inside of the paint.
They got a coverage, has got to come out to Faust here on the three-point line, allows him to drive by Hamad, and he goes right into the body of Deng, and that's the first team foul, first foul for Al Ahly Libya in this quarter.
And that's wonderful when you actually see the discipline. It is so important. You know, we often talk about the team foul count. I mean, as far as Al Ahly Libya are concerned, the discipline, but they're still very physical, but they're careful.
Yeah, they're careful, and it also speaks really to their intelligence and ability to be smart here. They know that that's always going to be the strategy for any team that is coming up against them, to take out Majok Deng and also Atwell. Already Atwell is on the bench, is getting some rest as El Maghribi does all of that work in the paint.
But actually, they've got on-court wizards. They've just got on-court wizards. The wizardry is there because they stay out of trouble, but they also spin. They provide us with acrobatics, the pirouettes and the skyfall shots from above. It's wonderful to see.
Yeah, there's definitely the reason they are the first team from the road to the BAL to make it to the final here. They've been meticulous in their journey all the way from qualification through the conference in Cairo in the NAL conference and coming here to the playoffs.
Little incident there with Domingos and Golden getting caught up with each other, and Domingos goes down. So the referees are just going to gather and take a look at this.
Yeah, they're going to trigger the instant replay system just to see if it is a common foul or whether they scale it up to unsportsmanlike.
10-point lead, 1:17 left in the first half. It's the final of Season 4 of the Basketball Africa League, and a riveting competition that has had so much drama right from the very first tip-off in the Kalahari Conference in Pretoria, in your backyard, Q.
Well, it's been, it almost has been an unimaginable journey in terms of trying to describe each conference, because it's each had their own narrative, and we just have to, one more chapter left and 20 more minutes, and you have a look here at Golden, at Dominguez. Well, they get tangled up, but maybe the whole call that it, it would be interesting to see how this gets interpreted.
Yeah, I'm going to throw myself out there. I'll say it's an unsportsmanlike foul because he grabbed the arm and the ball had already left his hands with the pass down the lane. Michael, Usher, we will give us the verdict in a minute about the, you know, what comes from the referees.
Well, it's been considered as a double foul there.
Well, both players picking up a foul, and that's what I said. It would be interesting to see how they interpret it. And I guess the right call.
I always get it wrong, just so you know. and I'm okay with that, you know. I put my hand up. I've got no problems with that, okay?
All right? It's okay to just be a commentator.
No, we're
okay.
Only human, Usher. I can
absolutely.
Say I'm, my hand's up in the air now. I'm saying I'm sorry, I got it wrong. Because I'm not a referee, but, you know, I like to throw my hat in the ring sometimes just to say that. Yeah, anyway.
It's only Q who can be a commentator, referee, coach, player. He's a man, he's a magician.
Yeah, it's only because you're his manager.
Yes, of course. I have to make him look good. Come on.
Domingos, Faust, no screen, tries to flick it over the top. They did a little touch there for Moreira, just trying to keep the ball in play, but we hammered as well. Shot clock down to 9, Faust goes for the 3. That is not downtown, that is way out in the suburbs, but it doesn't fall. Picks up there once again, Murphy, trying to get around his man, does well, deals with Faust, goes up high off the glass, and there's a touch there by Atrill, gets the rebound, another chance, maybe. Or is this going to be Murphy for 3? No, back off the ring. No point scored. 10-point lead and a chance for Domingos. Well, that's a giveaway. Who's going to get this? Watch out, watch out. It's Natural Dunkpan!
Eventually, something had to give and the ball goes into the hands of the beast there. Joe Noel Atuel. And this is not a BAL poster, but it certainly is a fantastic dunk. Free. Easy two.
Magnificent malevolence. That's what it was, Q. Smashing it, grabbing it, banging it in, and calling it your own as Diabate hits the deck and ball goes out of play.
Magnificent malevolence indeed.
8-point lead. Petro will want to get the hands on the ball. We got 4 seconds left on the clock and a timeout's been called before the end of the half. Important moment this is for Petro Luanda.
12-point lead, and it has been
12-point lead, sorry,
teetering between 10 and 12, and Petro have been trying to get themselves back in the game, but 3 players in double digits already for Alali Libya, Golden, Day, and Achua, and they've been fantastic here in the first half. Big players playing with big match temperament under the highest pressure, chasing a continental title. They're coming to the fore and they're just doing what's expected of them in this moment.
Yeah, no, it's been riveting, and but I've been so impressed by LA Libya and how they managed to move ahead. They have a 7-point lead at one point, Petro and Luanda, but the tides have changed and they've swung around and they're more favourable than North Africans. As we take a look at, you know, what we've seen, 50% three-point shooting, 6 of 15 for Petro. The field goal percentage is good. A couple more assists and steals, 3-2. But, of course, one of them from Solo Diabate, as per usual.
Right, you see the difference in shot selection, and I think Nicholas Faust has been a little bit too experimental. You know, I praised him for shot selection earlier, but it's taken a couple of really bad shots in the last couple of possessions, and we'll see what happens here out of the timeout.
4 seconds to play, but Weamba has it. Faust is a sharpshooter. Who's going to get it? Well, it's going to be Moreira. Moreira goes up, doesn't fall. Weamba doesn't get his shot, and that is the end of the first half of the final of season four. We got two quarters to come, but we can see it's a 12-point lead for Alali Libya over Petro Luanda here in Kigali, Rwanda.
It's halftime in Kigali, Rwanda, 40-52. Petro calling that timeout with only 4 seconds to go. Mokbel, I didn't understand. What was that?
Listen, man. I think they were trying to draw up a last-minute play, so the idea was there. The execution was
four seconds. The execution you're down was by 12 points. You're hoping that what? You get out.
You can get a decent shot. You know, a decent shot. But I don't know what they came out of it with, because it didn't seem like they were really
they didn't.
I wouldn't even have minded if that the shot didn't go in. It's just that it just looked like there
was a bad shot.
It was a bad shot. Yeah. It just looked like the plan was not
there
really
was discussed. No plan. The plan was no plan.
Or maybe the strategic planning didn't have a fallback plan, because, you know, maybe Al Ahly really defended well against the first option, and then there was no real thought about the second option.
Absolutely. Mm. It is 40-52, Al Ahly up by 12 points. That's a hole that is going to be tough to get out of for Petro de Luanda. Right now, we know how hard it is to when Libya gets that leg up on you, it's really, really tough. But this is a thrilling matchup between Al Ahly Libya and Petro de Luanda. Both teams have fought their way through the postseason to reach this pinnacle, but their journeys have been markedly different. Al Ahly has been nothing short of dominant throughout the BAL playoffs. They beat Cape Town Tigers. They beat the Rivers Hoopers. They beat the champions, the reigning champions, Al Ahly of Egypt. They're like, they yanked back that name. They're like, we are the real Al Ahlys. We are the dog in this country.
Literally.
Yes. But yeah, Phil, so give us some of how would you describe this game? 12 points, in the half.
Yeah, it's a thrilling game. El Ahly.
It's a little tongue twister. Al Ahly, Al Ahly, yes.
No, they're rolling. The basket is like an ocean right now.
Yeah.
Everything they shoot is just dropping in. I can see most of the players. They have three players in double figures. Mm-hmm. Lual, Deng, and Robert Golden. So the guards are doing well. The big men are also rolling. So the team is feeling good. It's going to be difficult for Petro to come back into the game unless they start to get up some good shots. What we saw at the end of the half was horrible, but we hope we can get a closer game later on in the game.
Yeah. Paul, who on the Al Ahly side is giving you confidence that they might have this in the bag already?
Ah, Lual, man. Yeah. You know, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and, you know, he's finally getting comfortable, getting some good dunks, easy buckets, you know. 11 points, 8 rebounds. I mean, what can you ask for? You know, he's going to end up with a double double. Hopefully, you know, gets that triple double.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
So, you know, looking forward. But I'm also worried about, Faust, you know, leading scorer, kind of looked tired, you know, and you know, when they went away from the game plan, he seemed to have carried a bit of the burden. But now it's, you know, you could tell it's you know, it's getting on to him. So he definitely needs a break. And they got to go back to the basics, man. They got to go back the way they started the game. Because if they don't, then, you know, come to the second half, it's done.
Now, Mokbel, when we started the first two quarters, I think the second, around the fifth minute, they were all matched up. But it feels like, Al Ahly is pulling away slowly. What are they doing to chip away and create that distance, that separation?
Exactly what the gentleman have said. To me, it just seems like they're just playing their game, their style of game, right? Phil mentioned earlier on that, you know, when you get into the second quarter, it's key that you get loose, right? And they have gotten loose, but they've still stuck to their game plan. To me, I feel like Petro's game plan initially was really, getting everybody involved, getting a bunch of touches in, getting the ball down low, getting some easy looks, playing hard defense, but they went away from that.
Yeah.
When Nick came into the game, he kind of gave them that three-point ability and that three-point shooting, but then they all started relying on a three-point shot more so than, you know, using the three-point shooting to aid with getting the ball inside. So I think This is high time for the coach, Petro's coach, to have a conversation with them and say, look, we're 6 for 15. We've shot 5 more threes than them, and we've only scored 1 more three than them. So let's kind of dial back on the three-pointers, get back to the game that we know how to do, and only shoot three-pointers when it's a good look.
Oh, give Nick the ball.
Jack, is that your guy right there?
That's the Benny.
Yeah, the Benny. His halftime performance. Let's go to Kigali. Listen to Ben. 's so that was the band providing the halftime performance entertainment in Kigali, Rwanda. He's, you know, a good friend of ours.
Yeah, the band, man. Shout out.
We would have loved to see more of his catalog. you know, given this is a big platform for him. Hey. I'm glad that, you know, they were able to pull him in. And, you know, he's such a great entertainer. But give us more than one song, man.
Hey, listen, BAL said, look, man, the slots are tight,
not
man.
The NFL halftime.
Man, the slots are tight, man. You know, it's difficult. But honestly, shout out to him for getting out there. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And especially, not only is this a BAL halftime, but this is the finals, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we've had other artists that have had the luxury of, you know, doing it during the Kalahari, the other conferences, but this is the finals,
absolutely.
So huge,
absolutely.
Man, kudos to the band, man.
Yes, absolutely. In case you're just joining us, this is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League playoff game between El Ahly of Libya and Petro de Luanda of Angola. El Ahly of Libya is a debutant team, first time making a showing in the BAL, but they were able to fight their way all the way from the Nile Conference in Cairo, and now they're in Kigali. They have been nothing short of dominant throughout the BAL playoffs. They lead in the postseason with an average of 87 points per game, and that is something that should have the coaching staff of Petro de Luanda a little worried. But we know Petro has been here before, so that helps, Philo. If you've been around the block, maybe you're not as scared of the big dog in the room.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself the big dog if you're down by 12 points at the half?
Yeah, I mean, games are won in the fourth quarter, not at the halftime, so don't even worry about that. Listen.
Don't even worry about it. Baba Grace.
Our boys are coming back into the game.
Hey,
let's get a few shots to drop and get the confidence up. Our guys are going to come back. We're going to have a thrilling end to this game. Watch this space.
Yes, sir. Yes,
listen,
sir.
As long as you're not jumping up from
and,
the, you know.
Mark Bell.
It's fun.
You said part of the problem is that they're depending a lot on the perimeter shooting.
I think as we're seeing some of the highlights from the game, I believe Nick Faust has really been the only one on Petro who's been having success from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what happens is when you see your teammate, you know, scoring from the three-point line, everybody else is getting too excited to want to also replicate that.
I can do that too.
It's like three points are more than two, sure, if the three goes in.
Right.
If it doesn't go in, two would have been
zero.
Better. Yeah. Right, so you're at zero. So I think it's going to be key for, you know, him to also, you know, facilitate and allow others to get involved in the game and give others, you know, because he's so hot right now.
Absolutely.
To give others the opportunity because, some of the defense on Al Ahly is going to really be concentrating on him. If they can stop him, if I'm Al Ahly's coach, I'm telling them,
that's
let
the
anybody
yes.
but Nick beat us
yes,
right now.
Absolutely.
If he gets the ball, double him and make sure that he swings the ball. So he has to now use that to get his players some easy looks.
Yeah, he has 23 points last game.
Yes.
He has 11 points
right now.
So far.
He's on pace
looks
to go
like
for
the momentum
20 plus.
Is on his side.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a team, don't try to do the things that he's doing. Do what you do well, and that is the job of the coach to impart that knowledge and advice on his players.
Right.
And that's usually, in this type of games, it doesn't matter the kind of squad you have if the coaching staff is not doing their job in studying what the other team is doing and adjusting. Mm-hmm. You're losing that game.
Right.
Yeah. I think looking at the stats here, Robert Golden, who is actually in double figures, their point guard, has 4 fouls, so it's important that they try to get him out of the game. That's one of the reasons why, though. That's one of the keys to the second half is trying to get him out of the game.
Yeah.
I think it will make it a close game for them.
Wow, great. I didn't know he had 4. He's their floor general.
Yes.
I can easily see if he goes out, it's going to be tough for them. But then let's also remember, they also have Solo Diabate, who's a great, you know, ball handler, who's also, you know, I wouldn't even say he's a replacement. They're like 1A and 1B right now.
Yeah.
So they're still in good hands. Even if Robert ends up going out, but you don't want to lose a guy that has been, you know, he has 11 points, 7 assists already, and he's 100% from 3-point line right now.
Absolutely. And we say Al Ahly leads the postseason with an average of 87 points per game, so you know this is going to be a high scoring game. They boast the best field shooting average percentage in the postseason, 47%, and it's that is way higher than Petro de Luanda, which only has 37%. And this kind of efficiency really indicates their ability to create opportunities and convert them, especially when it comes to that fourth quarter, which is very critical. Like Philo said, like you have said, these games are won in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the game is not over. Look, this 12-point lead was created with 20 minutes worth of play.
Yeah.
There's still 20 minutes worth of play as well. So just as quickly as they got it, we can see it. We've seen leads. Petro de Luanda overcame a 20-point lead in their last game to win.
Mm.
20-point lead in their last game to win.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't know how to come back from behind. And we know basketball is a game of runs. So when the game is going for you, it's, you know, it's key that the coaching staff break up the momentum.
Yes.
So, you know, to allow and assist your players to not, you know, to play into that momentum, you know. So
absolutely.
I think that's huge.
But they have been able to make those comebacks against other teams. You're playing against a different beast in Al Ahly Libya with their shooting efficiency.
That's fair.
You know, with guys like Lual and many
Deng
others
as well.
And Deng as well. So if you're going to rely on the past to be kind of an indicator of how you're going to do now, maybe this is not the right time, especially in a very critical game like this. This is the finals, y'all. This is the finals.
but you also can't lose hope either, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't be sitting there at halftime thinking to yourself, man, we're in a 12-point hole.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get out. We've lost it. You come out with that mentality, you're finished.
Oh, you're done.
I'm believing that, you know, Petro's going to make the right adjustments and be the first ones to punch back in that third quarter as soon as it starts. We got to see some defensive tenacity coming out, quick moving. I need to see hands moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you allow your defense to create your offense, it's going to be good. We saw it happen early on with Petro.
Mm.
They have the personnel to corral and make the game difficult for Al Ahly.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Because like we said, we have 2 ball handlers on Al Ahly, Robert Golden and Diabate.
Yes.
Everyone else is susceptible for a steal.
Yes.
So,
exactly.
You know, make it difficult for them, and I think they can get some easy fast break points.
Absolutely. It's 40 to 52. Al Ahly able to create that big lead, 12 points. Petro de Luanda will come into the third half trying to dig themselves out of that hole and try to equalize. Like Mark Bill said, they have done this before. They have not done it with the Libyan team, and we wait to see how they adjust to the momentum that Libya has. It honestly, it feels to me like Libya wants to go home with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they seem hungrier.
Yes.
But if they come out of the half complacent,
right,
then Petro Luanda is going to get back in the game. I'm pretty sure their coach is telling them, we've been down 20 points before. This is nothing.
Oh, the Dikembe Mutombo Trophy goes to Luol Akil, best defender. Yeah. They have the Minute Ball Trophy, Sportsman Player of the Year, going to Will Perry.
Is that his second time?
Given to him by, last year he won, a player. He had the most points. Shout out to Luol Deng, the man that is very much responsible for the impressive basketball caliber players we see coming out of South Sudan. We can't wait to see what they do at the Olympics later on in the summer. But all these guys, Luol Akil, Deng, Majok, all of them are able to shine on these type of platforms because of Luol Deng, who has injected not just his time, but also his financial resources, which I'm sure his bag is a little heavy, having played in the NBA a couple of years. So the fact that he's able to just give back to his country, his community, he understands the potential these guys have. Watch out for South Sudan basketball, guys. Watch
Blue
out.
Devil, man. Watch.
Massive talent, right? Exactly. Massive talent, right?
Absolutely.
Can't wait to see that kid.
Absolutely.
Man.
And we're a few seconds into starting the third quarter here. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. This is a Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. I'm with Mark Bill Yarborough, Paul Ofono, and Philip Luzi here in Studio 3. It's been a thrilling, thrilling matchup the first two quarters between Al Ahly Libya and Petro de Luanda. Al Ahly Libya makes their debut. They call it debutant team.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And there have been such a great debut. I don't know.
We got the Twin Towers, man. These South Sudanese brothers, man.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking like old school David Robinson,
exactly.
Tim Duncan.
Absolutely.
These in there. You know, if you put these with the Timberwolves, I bet you they're moving forward. Switch them out, right?
I like it.
Look at the aggressiveness. You know what I'm talking about? That's what those two miss,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. And we're about to tip off for our third quarter. Let's go back to Kigali.
The tank has got to be emptied. This is it. 20 minutes left in the Basketball Africa League season.
Lukeni, how wide? Picked up there. There's a shot from Cummings going in. Oh, there's your three. And there is your reaction.
Great way to start out, making the first open shot. Now, it's going to be important for them to build on that momentum.
He is the second player here for Petro de Luanda in double digits. 11 points for him as well as Faust.
Thank you, Asha. Very tense moment. Shot coming in. Oh, look at that. Deng hits the three.
And that's why defense is important. Wide open. Deng knocks down another one. He's 15 points.
Moreira with a chuck. It's all happening since the start of the third quarter. But there's two players from South Sudan down on the ground. Achuel is down there and he sat down and he's not getting back up. And Deng at the other end. So find out what happened.
Slow to rise up, and here's the drop.
So he fell on his hip. Deng. Achuel's back up on his feet. Let's have a look and see what happened at the other end. Well, the good news is they're both back up on their feet, and that's super important.
Yeah, both looking a little bit rattled. Martin's very, very strange set of occurrences there. Coincidentally.
I told you, I mentioned X-Files before. You know, this is the strange things can happen. Picked up by Atrell. He recovers with two.
It's a soft touch inside. He's such a strong human being. He's got a very soft touch around the rim as Atrell finishes right there for two.
Atrell, 42 points. Record BAL score in the Nile Conference this year. Moreira draws the attention there from Golden. Golden will pick up his second foul, I think.
It's going to be on Achuel, and it is.
Sorry, second, for Achuel. There we go.
Working inside the paint. He likes those matchups, does Moreira. It seems to just spur him on and make him play a lot better on the offensive side. It's like a spark for Moreira inside the paint.
In the game where Petro need to get points from every single opportunity, every single situation. And of course, Moreira will look to try and get to double figures and join Cummings and Faust.
Rasmus experienced Moreira, 75% shooter in this year's edition of the Basketball Africa League. He gets both.
10-point game. And a frenetic start to this third quarter. Murphy, well, he hasn't laid down his law just yet. Just getting held up short. There's Dundau. Drops it into the path of Cummings. Nicely done. Has he wriggled away from his man? Yes, he has. Has he scored? Yes, he has.
Extra pass. They wait. A little bit of patience there from Pedro de Luanda. Moreira wants the foul call, but he gets the basket more importantly.
Golden, down into the hands of Murphy. Murphy's accelerating a little bit more. Deng does the business. He's been snagged by Moreira. Second foul there for the big man.
Well, he's got to be aware of Deng on the perimeter. Here's the drop-off pass. And then Moreira gets the finish right inside.
Nicely done. Beautifully done there, Diabate.
Goes to work, got the matchup inside.
Up to 10 as well, yeah. It's interesting. He's capable of everything, absolutely everything. If you ask him to sell him your car, he'll sell your car. He'll do absolutely everything. Well, there's a big bit of action there in the paint once again. Moreira getting involved.
You look at the drop over the cover and help defense. Murphy got up extra high. And the ball goes flying out of bounds.
That's really good, isn't it? Moreira not being given everything so easy. Lucchetti, shot clock down to four, needs to go for the points. Goes around the Lally Libyan defense, and it's an 8-point game.
Right. Lucchetti is dangerous inside and outside. If they get him going, that might be an important spark for this Petro offense.
Mid-range two for Golden. And two players down on the ground. Buyamba goes around baseline. Oh, how about that? 10 fouls. That's going to be the second.
Fantastic foot speed by Gopete Buyamba. And he gets by. That man, Deng, draws the foul. And that's his fifth point. Second foul for Deng. Yeah, look, just gets right behind. Foot speed on the finish.
Now, Usher's really fast. You know, she's got great acceleration when she's on the floor. I would like to see her go on a 5-minute sprint, a 5-meter sprint, sorry, against Buyamba.
Perhaps I would have a chance, but I'm sure he'd win in the end. Well, but thank you for the confidence in me, Robbie. I appreciate it.
We always support you, Usher, you know.
Well, can you be my agent?
Oh, come on. I don't know whose agent. Who's your agent? There you go.
I can't be your agent. She's my agent.
Oh, come on. We'll just organize it between yourselves. Come on.
Come on, Robbie. Make it happen. Huh?
All right. Whatever you want. You know, it's all good. It's all good. I'll be your agent. You can be my manager. Q can be your marketing manager. I don't know.
There you go.
Designer.
Yeah, wow. Yes. Have you seen his outfit today?
Yeah, exactly. There we go. That's why I'm saying that, you know. Class. Like, absolute 5-star class.
Thanks, guys.
Diabate will get possession back. There we can see that a little error there and a foul, third foul there for Moreira, which is problematic.
Yeah, a little bit of problematic period here for Pedro de Luanda.
Achuel goes up, the soft touch doesn't see him get his direction, so Diabate, Deng picks up another foul, that's his third. So, in fact, going into this third quarter, we were talking about how well-disciplined these guys were. Well, it's a different scenario now, because everybody's getting in each other's faces, it's slightly more physical.
Right, the physicality quotient has certainly been ramped up on both ends of the floor, and Deng's arm just comes right across there. He might have gotten the ball, but he also got a piece of the body, and that's why the contact foul is called.
Oh, my. Look at that. Get in there. Cummings doing the business. 55-59. It's sorry, Johnny Pedro. Look at that. Listen, look at the replay.
Well, the drop-off pass to Pedro just come in. What a pass. What a finish. Pedro back in this one.
55-59. Oh,
Basketball Africa League coverage here on The Voice of America. We have a timeout. Petro de Luanda able to cut into that lead by a couple of points. It's now 53-59, I believe.
55.
Philo, what has Petro been able to do to kind of close in on El Ahly?
I think Petro was listening on the halftime show because they're doing everything we told them to do. Paul was talking about the threes and how they should be aggressive and go to the basket, yeah, which is exactly what they have done. Yeah. And Al Ahly is in foul trouble. Two of their good players are in 3 and 4 fouls, so it looks like they're doing the right things right now. They're getting back into the game. 4 points. 4 points, 4 point game. So,
wow,
yeah,
from 12 points, yep, at the half.
What, yep, a turnaround! What a turnaround!
What a turnaround!
I
for
mean,
sure.
It's good, it's, yeah, good. You know, created 2 turnovers this quarter, you know, and an extra, six steals. So,
yes, and one of the other things we've seen is that they're putting some of these Dengs in full trouble.
Yeah.
We've seen,
yeah, back to basics.
Yeah, mm-hmm, back to
get
basics.
Aggressive, you know?
The big men are extra aggressive now. The, yeah, guard, they've stood on the threes. The big men are going to the hoop. They're picking up the fouls. Yeah. So that's the right way to go.
Absolutely. And that's the trophy we see if you're watching live. That's the BAL trophy. Each one of these teams has a shot at it. 55 for Petro de Luanda, 59 for El Ahly Libya. Yeah.
Seems just like the big man Yannick Moreira has woken up too.
Yeah. He's woken up, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what we want to see. We want to see some healthy competition. And let's go back to Kigali.
It's going to be an interesting last 16 minutes in the Basketball Africa League in Season 4.
Here we go, and there is Golden to Diabate. Diabate, big high screen there from Atchwell, getting tangled up with Dundau. He goes for a drive, can't get his hand up, can't get his shot. And the last touch was from a Petro player. Diabate's frantically concerned and flustered there.
He might not have gotten any of those, but he was looking for his appeal to be heard. They do still keep possession of the basketball.
Shot goes in, back off. Another foul, and Atchwell will pick up his third foul. Sorry, it's the second for Cummings, I do apologise. There it is. And that was the shot that didn't fall.
Not just a huddle here from the Petro de Luanda team and our conversation between the referees, a chance for Atchwell. And I think the conversation really is that they're going to take care in terms of foul situation and how we try and manage that, because you know your value to a team is the ability to stay on the floor. Cummings has been highly physical inside the paint, but at the wrong time sometimes.
That's true. That's true.
Well, he's dealing with a lot there when you have a player like Atchwell. He is the one that has been given the primary role to guard Atchwell, so that Johnny Petro, who's on the floor now, and earlier Yannick Moreira, to be able to express themselves on the offensive side. But for them, on that last possession, Al Ahly, that's exactly what Coach Yeremich wants them to do, to continue to drive into that paint and force Petro de Luanda to foul them.
Well, Al Maghribi just coming on as well. The moment that Moreira goes off, of course, Atchwell will go off, because they're kind of, you know, it's all about tactics now.
And also Dan kicking up those 3 fouls, just getting a little bit of protection here in the third.
Buyamba floats one over the top, doesn't fall. There's another chance. Cummings tries to get his hands on it. It's Kevin Murphy just holds it. He realizes that they're getting back quickly, Petro.
Good defensive possession. Well contested. They pick up the ball.
Oh, Buyamba this time stalling Diabate's acceleration, his lightning streak into the paint, as per usual. There you go. Don't stop me, man. I want to go through.
Two players with good foot speed this time. It's Diabate able to pick up the foul against the fleet-footed Buyamba.
Well, restless feet might walk you into a snake pit. You've got to be careful. Murphy charging into Lucani, goes up and in. That's a great pair of points there for Al Ahly Libya.
They need it in terms of the score proximity. Makes it back up to 7. It was 2 possessions. It's now 3.
Buyamba. Dundau into the paint. High over the chop he goes. That's a great score from Cummins. He'll take that every day of the week. He moves up to 13.
Attacking the 2-3 zone at the top of the key. Wide open shot for Cummins. Just a nice find that Evan better make.
Well, 17 points for Petro de Luanda halfway through the third quarter is already more than the 14 they scored in the second quarter. It is a bit of a smile there from Sergio Moreno, but defense is what he wants more.
Oh, look at that. It had to go, didn't it? Big, deep three coming in. And there they move up to 65.
He continues to be perfect. That's his third connection, 3 for 3 for Golden.
Buyamba just comes back out. Solo Diabate slowing things down. He can see that there are white jerseys going back into the defensive zone position. He tries to go through, does it all! Oh, Diabate! Delicious!
There's one thing he does, is dance inside the paint, and Solo makes him dance as he finishes with the right hand.
Dance, dance, dance. That's what they're doing. Luke Kenny. Cummins down into the corner, but we have the pass of the ball out. 9 seconds left on the shot clock, flung back out. Dundau picks it up. Shot clock down to 5. Driving through, floats one over the top. That is just incredible. Dundau this time with something so delicate that you've got to appreciate.
Dynamic scoring from Dundau. Important one as he gets right into the zone again, top of the key, floats it up and floats it in.
Well, there's a problem here because player down is that Al Maghribi, who's down on the ground and he's not in a great place.
Well, he looks like he's in a lot of pain. We have another look at that floater from Dundau.
Solo Diabate, he's now up to 12 points. We're just waiting to see the what the state of affairs is regarding. I think it's Al Maghribi who's down on the, yes it is. And looks like he's, well, the medics are on his ankle, so I think that, yeah, it's going to be an ankle injury, I think. But see if he can put pressure on it. It's the left ankle, and he's going to get, not putting a little bit of pressure on it, which is, but yeah, he's in a lot of pain there. That's bad news. When he came on, he did really well. He's got 5 points, a very important player. As we see this, let's just have a look at, left ankle.
Yeah, that's not good news. He has been a very big defensive asset for Alahli Libya when on the floor, and that might just hurt them a little bit.
Well, they've won back possession, opportunity. Here goes Nicholas Faust! Faust!
The turnover comes from Castro, who's just come in on the floor, and he gets the steal and the pass and the finish. Another turnover.
Double turnover, look at that. Flung perfectly into the path of Faust. Drain it big time.
Takes off. Faust takes flight. 4-2.
Well, we've talked about the importance of defense here, and Coach Sergio Moreno, when it comes to depth on the bench, bringing in Castro and Faust to bring that positive energy and strong aggression against Alahli Libya.
Look at that, it's Sam, bring it on! Massive from Castro!
What a pass, what a finish! That's a poster!
That's a poster! And I'd always be talking about, wanted to talk about Faust Airlines, but it's not happening. We're talking about Abel Castro. Here they go again. Luke Kenny drops it in. Oh, my word. There's another chance. Johnny Pedro. He gets the points. He gets the points. Look how much it means to him.
Not a first chance, not a second chance, but a third chance opportunity. And Johnny Pedro has set PK Arena alight because it's a 2-point game. Misses on the first, they miss the second.
Great score. That's a great score, isn't it? You know, perseverance pays at the end of the day, and he makes sure that that is in. 2 points, 3:19 left in the third, and we are entering a very interesting and entertaining part of the game.
Well, they've been able to pull back 10 points in this quarter, and importantly so. And they try to set up what should be an exciting last 3 minutes in this third quarter. And really, it's all come from defense. That explosion from Claudio Castro, who came in, was able to pick up the steal. Faust again, providing some scoring impetus. And it's been a turnaround here. And we have another
timeout called by Al Ahli Libya.
They need it.
2-point game.
Man, what a way to dig yourself out of that hole.
What in the world was it? Now, if only I could be a fly in the locker room, in Petro's locker room, because, man, it's a different team right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. 65-67, 3 minutes and 19 seconds to go in the third quarter. Petro de Luanda able to really kind of read the room.
right.
Just as required, as necessary. Philip was like, well, I think they listened to us in halftime because some of the things that are doing right now are what we're talking about.
And they're just playing hard defense, Jackson.
Good coaching.
Hard defense,
look
man.
At that, you know, on the steals and just able to convert those, you know, fast breaks. This is the kind of basketball we expect to see in the finals game like this. Let's go back to Kigali.
Once again, 3:10 left, and the third goes around Faust. What's he going to do? Fling it back out. Oh, done now. Golden up to Diabate. Diabate fakes it, tries to get the rebound, goes down. Johnny Petro with a defensive rebound down in the corner. Done now for three. Done now goes up. Oh, it's been picked up once again by Luke Kenny. Faust. Luke Kenny. Well, he's unchallenged there. Look at the bucket for that man, Luke Kenny. 3 points, they move a point ahead. Wow, this is going far.
Luke Kenny was the man responsible for the run in overtime against the Cape Town Tigers. He starts one here in the corner again.
Atchrill gets fouled there by Castro, I believe. Look at this. Unbelievable shooting from Luke Kenny, hitting that big and important three-pointer. And he moves up to 7 points, but it's just the fact that the points have been shared across the team, and that makes it very important. 8 assists and 7 points.
Yeah, his three-point shooting has come alive. You know, he shot the ball at 10% throughout conference play, and it, since that three-pointer, has just upped his three-point making percentage, and that's a big reason why Petro de Luanda are back in this one.
Crikey, and then to think that they were 12 points down going into the start of the third quarter. We can see Al McGreevy hoping that he's okay with his ankle. I don't know if he'll be coming back on after that little twist. But Usher, this is crazy, right?
This is exactly what we expected here in the final. We've seen drama throughout conference play and here in the playoffs. But now Petro switching on the switch.
You can't do it. You just can't do it. Usher, that's just brilliant shooting.
Incredible reaction there from Luke Kenny.
Wow. I nearly tumbled over the table. What fantastic firepower from Justin Lukin. Now listen, you know you've got experience within this Petro de Luanda team playing finals, but they haven't managed to get over the line, the finish line. Faust down into the corner. Luke Kenny fakes, shoots, doesn't get it. Oh, there's a tussle at the back. Atchrill picks it up. Golden up into enemy territory, trying to go around. Dundau hits the deck. Foul committed, and he'll go to the free throw line because both teams on five team fouls.
Energy and intensity ramped up here at the BK Arena, and why not? The final 1:45 left in the third quarter. You can't ask for a better final. Golden loses his footing, comes down on the ground. He'll get a chance to go to that free throw line. 15 of 17 he has been.
Well, there we go, another 71-68, and Golden trying to find in his second.
Substitution sees Hamad go off, and Deng coming back in with three fouls, seeing if he can just help this LLE team on the Petro scoring run. Second one is good there for Golden.
Quick transition, getting up into enemy territory. Atchrill touch. Diabate picks it up. Golden to the left. Diabate. Supreme scoring from Diabate. And they get possession back.
Big time players making big time plays. And that's solo Diabate. See, out in transition, he has options. Dundau forced into making a decision, and that's what he does, finish under pressure.
Well,
so
of course, Luke Kenny had a great offensive play there, but he's had a bit of 25 seconds of madness there with two turnovers.
I mean, how are we coping with all of this? Well, Diabate goes on. There's, well, they're going to regain possession. Yeah, Asha, this is frenetic, fast. I mean, it's thrilling, isn't it? This is the BAL.
This is a great display of how incredible the BAL has risen to the echelons of African basketball.
Yeah, we're loving every single second. Every single game has been, you know, tightly contested right from the Kalahari Conference through the Nile Sahara, now here to the finals. This is a great opportunity. Castro, fantastic.
Wow, that is just fantastic finishing, and he is so dynamically athletic. He finishes that under high pressure.
Goes in, getting tangled up by Castro. And of course, any foul now will go straight to the free throw line, so you've got to be a little bit careful. 56.1 seconds remaining.
Yeah, the Angolan international, Claudio Castro, has had an impact on the defensive end, but also on the offensive side. 4 points, and has had presence that has made a difference and helped spark the scoring run for Pedro de Luanda. But they are in foul trouble, and they sent Golden back to the free throw line where he was 1 of 2 on his last trip.
One-point game. Golden goes back up. It just creeps over the top. Lady Luck on his hands. Golden up to 17 points. Leads all of the scorers. So far, Faust in possession. Castro. Kaku. Gundao picks it up. Goes around. Inside the arc. Doesn't get his points. Murphy picks it up. Does a really good job of weaving between defenses. That's an easy pickup. There's a bit of a mismatch. And it looks like Lukeni will pick up the foul on deck. Oh no, it's
dispossession. You see the work here from Gundao. This is actually fantastic work. He just taps it out, almost anticipating what Deng was going to do there on the baseline.
That's a good touch. Didn't pick up the foul. A little bit of mismatch as well. Diabate. Diabate! How on earth did he do it? That is outrageous from Diabate.
That's a real play from Diabate, dancing on the baseline. That's a big time turn.
Hey, he just turns up for the big games. 5 seconds remaining in this third quarter. And, well, there's a chance for more points to now this time. Oh, my. 75 points apiece, the end of the third quarter. We enter the fourth quarter all square in a very interesting scenario. We don't know whether there's going to be the twist or turn, but this is the final of the BAL, and it is fantastic.
It's now time for another contest with the game called the
Empty Invitation Dribble. Diabate, the maestro from the Côte d'Ivoire. We'll take a break.
We're too excited. The last two possessions of the game, the solo Diabate have and the play of the tournament.
Absolutely.
Play of the year. Gundao comes in with that little hazy up to the board. It is 75-75. Equally matched up. Elali Libya
was
losing that 12-point lead on the at the half. Wow. And now it's equaled. Petro de Luanda has been here before. This is not their first rodeo. And they're like, we're in it this time around to win it. Elali bringing that, debutant energy to this. And also want to show that, you know, we might be new to this. But
we're true to this.
I love that. I love that.
Great entertainment.
But yo, solo Diabate, dunk of the game.
Dunk of the year? Play of the year for sure.
Oh my goodness.
Between the legs, nutmeg.
And he lets you know.
Crossover on the baseline. Between the legs.
Yes.
Woo! Off the base jump. And Faust is about 6'6", man. The guy who's one of the guests is like 5-6 inches taller than him.
He's like, give me that trophy already.
I'm here.
Yes, I'm the top dog in this house. Speaking arena. In case you're just joining us, this is the Basketball Africa League. Oh, we see our guys in Kigali.
Is that Dave Chappelle?
That's Dave Chappelle right there,
man.
Dave Chappelle is in Kigali. Dikembe Mutombo is there.
Beautiful stuff.
Everybody seems to be in Kigali except us, guys. Why are we not right there?
We need to plan for next year.
We can't.
Talk to us about the numbers.
This star-studded. Field goal percentage, 48% to 52% in favor of Al Ahly Libya. Assists are going in favor of Petro de Luanda, 20-15.
Yes.
So what I'm seeing is Petro de Luanda came out and it all started with their defense. They're moving their hands, they're moving their feet, they're getting everybody involved from the offensive standpoint,
right.
And really they're playing the style of basketball that we know that they can play.
Absolutely,
that's the beauty of it.
That conversation was obviously had in the half of time the coach, like, do what makes us win these games, and let's
keep
go back
playing
to Kigali.
Our style.
Petro de Luanda, they'll continue to attack the paint and see if they can get him in foul trouble early on.
Goals and goes up for a big three. There goes over the top, picked up there by Castro Dundao.
Oh, his first miss from the 3-point line. They go with the starter here.
Castro! Oh my! Where did he come from? That was just crazy, flying in from nowhere.
Detonates dynamite up there in the air, Castro. But that's an assault on the rim for sure. Oh, that's massive.
Crash course in dunking baskets as Diabate responds with a little wily run of his own.
I tell you, that's the ideal response after such a thunderous dunk. It almost looked like trying to destroy the rim there, Castro. And just to quiet down the play a little bit, you have a look at the drop-off and wow! Boom!
That is two quick team fouls here for Petro de Luanda, exactly what Coach Yeremich wants Al Ahly Libya to continue to do, knowing that this game could be decided on the charity line.
And Masu, he's going for the angel dive. His wingspan would have been out like that if he could just, you know, keep the ball in his hand somewhere along the lines. That was just outrageous.
That is eagle-like behavior.
It was. It's soaring like an African eagle. Picked up here by Dundao. Dancing around, the rim goes up, and it's a long-range shot. Comes back off the metal, back into his hands, Dundao. The wily point guard. He's got speed, he's got acceleration. Gets it back to Castro. Castro flings it out to Buriamba. Oh, it's just come off the rim. Oh, Castro's there. Of course he's there. He'll pick up all of the pieces. We're level again. Wow, no, we're 2 points ahead. Sorry, Petro.
It almost seems masterful having Castro on the floor now. He's up to 8 points for Petro. 8 valuable points.
Well, it's a travelling call, a gold basket. Good work from Buriamba. He was really in his face there and just not allowing him any space at all.
Important moments, that turnover, especially here in the final 8:28 of the Basketball Africa League season.
Here is Faust, 8:25. Scintillating finale here in Kigali. Ground shaking. Gaku beautifully dealing there with Deng and rolls around and scores the two.
But Deng has to be careful. He's got 3 fouls, so can't overcommit. That's a great take from Gaku.
No, Diabate can't do that. Ah, look at Diabate. This is monstrous performance here from Diabate. He's up to 20.
He's taken control of the offense and solo Diabate. What an amazing play in this final.
I get the impression he really wants to win that third title.
I get the same impression.
Quick transition, Diabate, give it to Hamad, captain, marvellous.
What can he not do right now? He's played an amazing role. There's nothing that he can't do. Another look at the pass from Diabate into space, and Hamad, you know, he finishes fantastically well.
Diabate carrying the whole Elali Libya team on his shoulders, Mokbel.
Matt, 81-81. Last two possessions were all simply because he wanted it more than the Petro team. He's showing us why he's a two-time BAL champion. But let's get back to the arena right now. We back.
Faust for three. Oh, roll it in. Faust produces another three. 16-point tally for him.
It's like someone turned on the switch and Petro de Luanda playing their best basketball here in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you are kidding me. Deng hits a big long shot from downtown.
And it's another switch, maybe the same switch, because Alali back in this one. They tie it up by 84 apiece.
Faust drives towards Deng. Boyama picks it up. Fun back out to Luke Kenny. Shot clock down to eight. There's a little charge around the outside. Picked up there by Cummins. Drops. Tries to hook it over the shot. The battle continues. Back to 14 seconds. And it looks like that Hamad commits the foul. And that will be second team foul for Elali Libya.
They picked up some really big rebounds here in this last stanza of play. Petro de Luanda, second chance points that really helped them stay alive.
Faust picks it up. Gaku down behind him, but he goes home alone. Nicely done. See, Hamad was trying to get the SWAT team active. It wasn't happening there. Faust doing the damage. Up to 18 he goes.
Yeah, he evades capture as he gets inside there and finishes a very important field goal.
Diabate back off the medal, picks up, comes off the body of Atchuel. 86-84, 6:21 left to play. Usher, how are you feeling?
Well, I would rather feel maybe tense, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the end-to-end action.
Listen, it's a high-scoring game as well, and there's nothing to separate these two teams. They're joined at the hip. And we're going down to the wire. We surely are. Gonsalves, best performance so far for Petro. Luke Kenny Gonsalves gets up a three-pointer, of course, and it had to go in. It had to drop.
Now, timing is perfect for this man, Luke Kenny, coming alive for Petro at the right time.
Deng, Atchuel picks it up. Is he going to roll around Cummins? Trying to get himself a little bit of space. And he goes for the shot, and Cummings gets drawn into the contact zone, and that will be his third foul.
Three-point shooting has been great, and McKinney hits his third three. Well, we've seen shot selection fantastic from both of these teams, and really, this is, you can't ask for two better teams to compete in the last 5:44 of this Basketball Africa League season.
Well, Lukeni with that three-pointer, obviously going to 13 points, is the fourth Petro de Luanda player here to be in double digits. Moreira being the other with 12. Gonsalves, Lukeni, of course, with the 13. And Cummings, 13. And Faust with 18.
11 three-pointers made by Petro de Luanda at 42%. And it's been 8 of 15 for Alan Olivia. Important free throws for that man, Atchuel.
It's Gaku who picks up the foul. But you can just understand just how tight this is, and that's
the fourth team foul for Petro de Luanda. Yeah. 5:44 left to go.
And this just plays into the hands of Alali Libya, because they can just claw back a little bit. But Solo Diabate trying to dance around the defense. Faust picks it up rather than Atchuel. Into the path of Lukeni, tries to go around Murphy. And he gets knocked off balance.
Well, he is headed towards triple-double territory, Justin Lukeni. He gets by the defense, forces the foul there from that man Murphy. He's got 13 points, he's got 6 rebounds, he's got 8 assists. And has been a key factor for Petro de Luanda in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I love seeing all of these players. We've got four players on both sides in double figures, just to give you an idea of the quality of basketball that you're all watching around the world. And, you know, we're just so proud to be part of the BAL, just to see, you know, what's happening here is, you know, it just highlights what has been happening all season, which has been riveting, high-octane, quality basketball from all of the teams who are participating in this fabulous league.
Every conference has been very intensely contested, and that's exactly what the playoffs has been as well, just seeing all these teams prepare from the very beginning and coming here to the championship final. If you ask anyone before the game who will win, everyone is trying to deny themselves the duty to predict.
Can't predict. I mean, you know, we've had five buzzer beaters in season four, just coming out of the Sahara Conference into the finals, just to give you an idea of how nutty this whole scenario has been. We've loved every single second.
And gone to double overtime as well.
Like you double overtime.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we did.
90-84, 5:21, and Al Ahly Libya trail by 6 points. Petro de Luanda losing finalists against the US Monastir in 2022. Al Ahly Libya have never qualified for the BAL until this season. Faust goes around, Murphy goes high off the glass, and that is a fine score. He moves up to 20 points.
He's not only a sharpshooter, he can put the ball on the floor, and that is a fantastic finish by Faust.
Cummins, oh, there it is. Oh, he couldn't get it. I don't know if he's going for the points or going for the... Give it, you know, the rebound that will be picked up by Bowie Amber. You're too much.
It's really difficult to tell, but I think he should have just gone for the finish. Look here, that man Faust, fantastic fourth quarter. He gets by the defense for the feathery finger roll. 2 points.
Delightful to the eye. .446 left to play in the fourth quarter, 92-84. We're going to take a break.
And we have a timeout in Kigali. Petro de Luanda up 92-84 of Al Ahly. Al Ahly was having to pull.
No?
I don't know what happened, but it feels like the momentum has totally shifted, Philo.
Yeah. I mean, guys, you could throw that playbook out the window, playing pickup basketball now. Because. Listen, these guys are just going, get me the ball, I'm going to the hoop. Diabate with the crossovers, going straight to the basket.
That was,
so,
I think, in the fun.
Yeah, at this point in the game, it's who can get me a bucket.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing right now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So let's see how it goes.
Absolutely.
I mean, who thought would be at this stage?
I mean, in the half, it was Al Ahly up by 12.
Yeah.
And now they're trailing by 8 points.
Yeah. Yes.
My goodness. Whatever the conversation was had in the halftime on Petro's side, I think it worked. They were able to adjust, and right now they have Al Ahly Libya on the ropes. Quarter, 4 minutes and 46 seconds to go. If they sustain this momentum, they will have their trophy in a few minutes. Mugbill, what do they do to keep this? It's eight
just
points. Might seem a lot, but...
But to be honest with you, Petro just has to... They cannot put the pedal off the metal. They have to continue to do what they're doing, which is defense, and taking the right offensive shots. That's the key. Other than that, there's nothing else you can do. As we mentioned earlier, simple basketball. Make the right play. Make the right possession. Every possession counts.
Absolutely.
If you are, you know, trying to shoot the random shot when you don't have to, use all the time that you can on the shot clock to make sure that this game, you know, it goes your way. So,
yeah, absolutely. Paul, who is on Petro's side, the guy that is impressing you so far that has been...
The two big men for me. I mean, you saw how they started off the first quarter and how they were... You know, they went small for speed and, you know, a little bit of aggressiveness, but they've stayed with speed. You know, they've stayed aggressive. and they've gone big.
Yeah.
And, you know, Al Ahly, you know, hasn't adjusted. And I say stay big.
Yeah.
Let the big men, you know, run. Because on the other hand, their big men are getting tired.
Absolutely.
You know, so we can see which big men can keep up in this game.
It's nice to see that they have, they're making use of that VAR technology. I mean, this is a critical game. So
I love it.
Anything counts. Whether it means you will, you know, the coach will challenge whenever there is any little mishap in the game, just to make sure that, you know, you take every opportunity. Nothing can be taken for granted at this critical, critical moment. 4 minutes and 46 seconds to go in the finals game, the playoff finals game between Al Ahly Libya and Petro de Luanda. Petro is hungry. They're saying this stays in Southern Africa. If they win this, they will be the first South. No,
yes.
Yeah, the first Southern mm-hmm. African team to win the Basketball Africa League 4 years into this tournament.
It's been up top. Which,
yes,
it's been in the north side, the Maghrebs.
Yeah, the Maghrebs have been dominating today.
They've been holding it up there.
Al Ahly Libya comes into this postseason game as one really the top scorer. With high averages, way over, I think it was 47%, way over 37% for Petro de Luanda. But Petro, you know, saying we're not losing this. We have
Petro's,
a moment.
Petro's saying that those are stats, man. Those stats, listen, the stats is not playing on the floor. We're
amnesia.
Playing here.
We have amnesia.
Hey, we forget about what happened.
It's about the now.
I love it.
But you know, if I'm the coaches, you know, this is basically a timeout for you. This is where you're catching your breath, you're resting.
Yes.
You know,
adjusting.
There's no way either team should come out here and have a bad play run.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Everything should be good. You know, if I'm Petrolis, I say, hey, we are well rested. Use as much of the clock.
And the momentum,
you know,
is on our side.
And it's on our
let's
side.
Capitalize
we
on this.
We got 4 minutes. Use as much of that clock.
Yes. All right, let's go back to Kigali.
With the ball in hand, back to Lukeni. Lukeni around the outside, swings it back out. Here is the ever-dangerous Cummins, who's been pivotal here for Petro de Luanda. Faust bites the time, got to get a shot in, releases it in time, it's short.
Again, great work there. Solely about it, taking responsibility defensively on the switch. Comes up right to Faust and forces that jump shot and that turnover, essentially, for Petro de Luanda. That opportunity to go up into double digits on a score. Did Petro.
Picked up by Golden. Golden. Achuel into the arc. Murphy trying to find some space. Tries to go high and around. Faust doesn't happen. It's been picked up by Moreira. Yeah, Cummins swings it out. Buyamba, Castro. Oh, catalytic Castro does it again.
Absolutely catalytic. Sparking the offense. Another important score. Up to 10.
Oh, this is Buyamba goes down, he crossed right into, well, look him, oh my, that Deng dunk, that is just outrageous. But we're going to go to a review, because we saw the Buyamba right in front of us, he went straight into Achuel, so we'll assess the situation, but he went down quite hard.
Well, that score will count, the dynamic dunk from Deng happens, and I think they're going to trigger the IRS nonetheless. Buyamba has not moved, he's been on the floor since he went down. Well, runs right into the screen. Just a bit of contact that happens in that dynamic dunk as Deng gets to right there.
I think the fact that he was just he just turned around at that very second, and it was like, wow, there's a giant South Sudanese player getting in my way. As we see that, the driven Deng moment there for a massive dunk.
Dynamite right there, exploding with the two hands. Major Deng. And the referees are having a look at that play. So Buyamba go down.
So 3:54 and checking the situation. Kind of adds and builds on the tension that we've got here in the BK Arena. And what a fantastic atmosphere we've actually got here for the final game. What a long season it's been, but it's been so intriguing, isn't it? It's been a roller coaster of emotions going from the Kalahari Conference, where we saw, of course, the battles between Fusterabat and the Cape Town Tigers and Petro and Luanda, and then we went to the Nile and then the Sahara, finally here in Kigali. So many intriguing battles.
So many, and the noise gets deafening here in the BK Arena when they turn up the volume, and there it is, just maybe that little push-off, and that camera angle just reveals a little bit more. Again, I think this is going to be a very interesting interpretation.
Yeah, look at that left. It's the left shoulder just going in, so we'll see exactly what happens. But yeah, we went to the Sahara Conference, of course, and then we saw Alali Libya finishing second behind Alali of Egypt to qualify for these finals in Kigali. Sahara Conference was equally as riveting, with the Rivers Hoopers finishing top of the pile ahead of AS Douane.
Luala has two fouls, so now it's just going to be an interpretation here to see exactly what it could imply for that man right there.
US Modesty are qualifying as well. Well, let's get their reaction.
Well, there's nothing that has been seen in that review. We'll continue with where the game had reached with one shot on the free throw line.
Okay, good. I mean, you know, it didn't look malicious. It was just he turned around and just went straight into, you know, a big forward. And then, bang, you're down on the ground. So it looked worse than what it was. He seems to be okay, Buyamba, which is great news. And, you know, they resolved it.
The contact situation in the game of basketball, that's movement in and around the screens being set. And it goes down hard. Just caught a little bit unawares, but the referee's there to make the interpretation. So the game can continue.
Perfectly delivered there from Deng. Well, let's just have a look at this again. He goes straight through the middle. That's his decision. Deng delivers big time. It's 94-87, 7 points, 3:45 left to play. Into Cummins' path is set up for Castro. Back out. Buyamba unable to get his shot just on the edge of the arc. It's now Faust. Faust goes up. He can't get his three-point shot. And, well, you can see that... they will get possession and they're going up the other end.
Yeah, there's a team fouls here for Petro de Luanda. The contact call from on Castro. He's trying to pick up that rebound. And as much as he's had a great impact, they were able to pick up a second chance opportunity, try to get a third one. And that's where the foul came in. And it sends Deng back with his 21 points to make two more pressure free throws as the game clock is stopped.
Yeah, but these, you know, the five team fouls obviously are going to play an important role now. Deng unable to increase his tally from 21. He is the game's leading point scorer for the time being. 94-87, needs to get his second. 3:31 left to play.
74% throughout conference play, Deng from the charity stripe.
Gets his second. 6 points. Lucchetti, Dundau, Faust into Cummins, losing Cummins just on the charity line. He goes for a mid-range two. It's a good score as well. And Cummins goes up to 15.
He just takes advantage of Deng, who's caught a bit underwears, created some separation, and that's a big-time shot from Cummins.
He likes that spot, doesn't he? Taking the pass quite frequently there. Diabate, it's a long shot, and it's been picked up and taken down. Cummins bites his time. Faust is screaming for the ball on the other side of the floor. He goes up, tries to use the glass, and Diabate gets snagged. That'll be his third foul.
Again, that's a great read on the matchup. We have giving up Solo Diabate inside, a little bit smaller. Martin Cummins trying to work in the low block. He does get over his right shoulder and forces Diabate into the foul.
Well, that's a fourth team foul. And the third for the Ivorian.
15 points, Cummins being big on both ends of the floor for Petro in this final contest.
This is the first.
6 points, two rebounds. Has really struggled from the free throw line. 14% through conference play.
Yeah. 15 points, four rebounds there, two from three. Three from four. Up to, well, it's a 9-point lead here for Petro de Luanda. And it's up to Alali now to try and find some points from somewhere. They do have five team fouls each. Golden goes up. He gets fouled straight to the free throw line. That's the perfect scenario. It's Faust who picks up his third.
I think it is going to come down to the ability to make free throws for both of these teams. Golden again gets inside and forces Faust into the contact. And here we go. It's going to be a test of steel and test of the ability to knock down pressure free throws.
Usher, coming over to you.
Well, the thinking here for Sergio Moreno is that every time Petro de Luanda have ball possession, he wants Shilder Dundao to lead the offense, but on defense he's bringing in Buyamba, and is going to continue to do that perhaps maybe for the remaining time in this game.
Yeah, but two players as fast as lightning, which makes sense. That way they get movement happening immediately.
Yeah, also the size mismatches on that can be exploited offensively there for Alahu Libya.
Dundao, 7-point game. Trying to block out to Ali, nearly gets his hands on the ball. Diabate, shot clock down to six. Dundao needs to go around. Diabate goes up all by himself. Surely not. Oh, Cummins dunks a ball. The damage has been done.
I don't think you'll see a bigger putback than that from Cummins. He rises right up. And that might be the best poster of the Basketball Africa League so far.
Murphy on the edge of the arc. It's flung up, Cummins goes again, he's going to go up himself, it's an easy two, deals with Golden, and now look at this, the Inter treble figure, 101 points to 90.
11-point lead.
And 1 minute 48, surely there's going to be a timeout called there from Alali Libya, but not at the moment because the damage is happening right now. Fundamentals hitting Alali Libya in a big way.
Wow, what pressure score making here from that man Faust. Cummins alternating the score in the pass there from Castro, and then superb finish there from Faust.
Unbelievable. And of course in the process, look at that from Cummins. Get in there. That is not staying out. It's going in.
Determination. It gets right up over everybody. Puts it back down. Take a bow, Marquis Cummins.
They go again. No timeout called. Solo Diabate, 135. It's a 13-point lead. Here is the Ivorian trying to deal. Oh, Castro. Murphy goes for a big long-range shot. Comes off the metal. Solo Diabate gingerly walks back into enemy territory. They kind of know that it's not going their way with 118 left to play. Faust into the paint. Well, they're toying with the Alali Libyan team. Golden picks it up. He loses possession. Faust dunk! In he goes! That is just fabulous!
Faust-tastic as he gets that one before. And now, I think Petro de Luanda, no.
15-point lead, 55 seconds to go. Golden going up. Gets a nice mid-range two. Golden moves up to 21 points.
They can certainly sense it.
They can smell victory in the air. And there's the foul there on Alu Kenny. He'll go straight to the free throw line. 47.3 seconds remaining. 13 points. There's fatigue on the floor. You can feel it. But just look at these guys. They're feeling it now, aren't they? Cummins, Faust, and the bench of Petro. Look at that from Faust. That is the delivery of all deliveries.
Yeah, it's been unreal. 51 bench points from the Petro de Luanda bench. It has been the difference. Castro, Faust, they've been amazing for this Petro team.
Luke Kenny nails his first of two shots from the charity line.
Well, what this could mean is that this will be the first African championship for Petro de Luanda since 2015. They've been waiting for a continental championship. They've been into all four semi-finals.
Yep.
And this is as close as they've been.
A remarkable, right? And in four attempts, they finally go closer towards that first ever BAL championship trophy. It's 47 seconds remaining. This is the time, isn't it?
It is the time. You can see Petro de Luanda on the bench. They're already in celebration mode. They can feel that victory coming their way.
They've waited such a long time. We just spare a thought for Coach Jose Neto, who's taken them all the way into the final four bracket in the first three seasons. Of course, he's not around here. It is another coach who's going to be here, but he's been important in the construction of this Petro de Luanda team. They've managed to find a route through to the final, but this performance, standout performance from Petro de Luanda, has been remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely. Jose Neto, speaking to him before this final, he said, of course, he's going to watch this game and wishes Petro de Luanda the best. He's an incredible human being and, of course, a great coach.
Amazing human being, Coach Jose Neto. And our coach, Sergio Moreno, has taken the reins. And Petro de Luanda, they've had to fight at every single juncture. You remember the loss to U.S. Monastir in the seeding game, coming down to the buzzer. It has been overtime win against the Cape Town Tigers. And they've had to fight back in this final as well.
That's so true. Deng on the charity line gets another point. That pushes him up to 24 points. And we are just counting down the seconds as... Well, Faust Dundau, they're smiling, they're happy, they've worked so hard for this, they've bided their time, Dundau, and it's not going to be Solo Diabate who gets hold of possession, of course, and he won't get his third title, but he respects what's happening out here now, and, well, there's still seconds left on the clock, 9.9 seconds. Can't celebrate just yet, it's not over, but they're on the cusp.
They are on the cusp.
It's just a question of seconds before this entire arena erupts. And it will be Golden who picks up possession. And the final seconds here. De Luanda have done it in their fourth attempt, their second final. They get themselves the crowns as champions of Africa. They finally managed to get themselves over the finish line.
What a wow! What a wow!
What a
107-94. Elali losing, or should I say, Petro de Luanda winning by 13 points. Is that correct? Is my math
yes,
correct?
Yes, absolutely. 13 by 13.
I mean, this is a team that came down from a 12-point deficit at the half and went on to win with 13 points.
Jax, remember what I said?
Yes,
I said they came back from a 20-point deficit
yes.
in a game right before this as well. This is the type of pedigree that this team has.
Absolutely.
You know, they're resilient. They come back. They don't give up. What a conversation that they must have had at halftime in the locker room to come out punching in the third quarter to really, you know, regain control of this game in the third quarter.
I mean, you said these games are won in the fourth quarter, but I feel like this game was won in the third quarter. By the time they came out, something had happened.
Yeah.
Something had switched up for them, Philo.
Yeah, definitely. In the third quarter. Definitely. That's the heart of a champion, man. That's experience right there. You come out of the locker room and you come out guns blazing.
Yeah.
They were really aggressive. Mm-hmm.
The third quarter was a pivotal shift for Petro de Luanda. They came out with renewed energy and focus and gradually chipped away at El Ahly's lead. Their defense tightened and they began to find their rhythm offensively. And now they are the champions, ladies and gentlemen. The
wow.
BAL fourth season is officially at the end. And the trophy is coming to Sub-Saharan Africa. It's we're yeah. witnessing
first time.
History.
Yeah. First
yes,
time.
Yes,
first
time. Yes.
Pretty good. But I mean, I'm, you know, I'm really proud of that. You know, this team. You know, it. I mean, it tells you that you know the reason that they're here and won the final.
Yes.
Is because they're really a team.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And for me, the three things that make the. I mean, look at you know the rebounds, the assists, and the steals. Mm-hmm. 48 to 32 rebounds. Mm-hmm. 26 to 18 assists, nine steals to four. So look at the hard work, you know,
absolutely.
In the third quarter.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's where it's, you
absolutely.
Know, down.
Petro had a balanced attack with multiple players contributing to the scoring. Mokbil, break it down for us in terms of the players on Petro's side that were the difference makers. There was a dog on one side, but there were multiple dogs on the other side.
Yeah, no, if I'm just looking at it from a just a impactful perspective, I think Nick Faust really just helped, like, spread the floor for this Petro team. And then outside of him scoring his three-pointers, once he started knocking down a couple of shots, it became difficult to guard him because now you don't want him to score the three-pointer. So
and
now
you're opening the lane
he starts
him.
Driving
yes.
in. He starts getting everybody else involved. You know, we have to mention Goncalves.
Yes.
What a phenomenal back-to-back couple of possessions yeah. where he really just wanted it more than the Al Ahly players. Shilde Dindao, phenomenal point guard, as well as his defensive tenacity that we've seen him go out and make it difficult for Robert Golden, who really was a floor general for this team. So all in all, I think it was a great team effort.
They
Cummings
totally incapacitated Golden this time
yeah,
around.
Absolutely. Cummings, you know, phenomenal play sure. from him. You know, he put up 20 points as well. Mm-hmm. Yannick Morera as well. So just across the board, man, I think this was a team effort. Man, what
and
a win.
And that's what it takes to win games is a team effort. We saw Solo Diabate put the team
on his back,
on his back, but that is not enough.
You can't. He was going one
effort.
Against five at
absolutely,
times.
Absolutely. And now the trophy is going to Luanda after how many? I mean, again, Petro has been here before. And for me, Mokbil, if I'm to take away from what I've seen today about Petro is that there's a new breed of Petro players that are going forward in the next coming years. I mean, they're going to be the defending champions
right.
going forward.
Right.
But, you know, this is a good base to start with.
For sure. But they have the right, they've always had the right core. But I think what they did that was different this year is that they went in and selected and started picking some additional players like a Faust, like a Cummings, mm-hmm. to come in and assist, kind of sprinkle it on the top of the core foundation that they had.
Yes.
And that has been the difference makers for them.
Let's listen to Amadou Galofol, the president of the BAL.
We've had
give
packed
his,
crowd here at BK Arena throughout the week. We've had over 100 passionate BAL fans at our games in Pretoria, in Cairo, in Dakar, and now here in Kigali. It has truly been a memorable season, on the court but also off the court. We've had some youth development and social impact programs, and I cannot wait to see what season 5 brings. Thank you to all our fans across Africa and around the world. Congratulations to our runner-up, Al Ahly of Libya. Congratulations to this year's 2020-24 BAL champion, Petro Atletico de Luanda.
Thank you, Amadou. And now let's get to the trophies. Up first, we have the Hakeem Olajuwon MVP Award. The award will be handed over by FIBA Africa President Anibal Manav in just a moment. But this player broke the BAL scoring record this year and has an absolutely dominant performance throughout the entire season. Your 2024 Hakeem Olajuwon Finals MVP is Joe Lual Achwil. He has also been named the scoring champion. Joel Wall, please come center. Anibal, you can also hand over the MVP award to Joel Wall. Luol, Luol, before you take off, Luol, I need you back here. Congratulations to you. This is your shining moment, and I know you don't like talking about yourself, but we have to. These are some heavy trophies right there. Tell me, what does this moment mean to you, and what does it mean to you to win the MVP of BAL Season 4?
First of all, congrats to the guys that won it. Obviously tough. I never really set out to win awards. I think the goal was always to win the trophy, and obviously we came short. So, there's no silver lining. There's never been a silver lining in my career as far as any of these achievements. But I'm thankful and I'm grateful to have been able to play in this league. And I want to thank all the fans and all the South Sudanese people out there that supported us. This is the first time a Libyan team has been to this tournament, and to make it this far, shout out to Libya, and I hope we represented you guys with pride, and hopefully at some point, you know, I'll come back and get that one on the left right there.
Now, Luol, you've rightfully said that this is your first time in the BAL. What has this journey been like for you?
It's been fun, obviously, but it didn't end the way it ended, so I'm going to need some time to process everything. I think the feelings and the emotions are a little bit raw right now for me to really get into detail about everything, but I guess that's my answer.
Congratulations, and thank you, Luol. Let's give it up one more time for the finals MVP. I would now like to ask Petro de Luanda captain Carlos Moraes to come forward. Carlos, I know what this moment means to you. You have been searching for this title for 4 years now. What are you most proud about with these guys right behind you, this team?
Man, I think we showed the heart that we have down 20 against the S1s, coming back. Fighting all the game through to get this win. I mean, this is what was missing. I have no words to describe. This is what was missing. Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
You're absolutely right. And it's been a bumpy road for Petro de Luanda. You guys clawed your way into this finals. What has been the biggest lesson for you?
Just keep fighting. Keep believing. Trusting one another. I think that was the key for our team. Keep trusting one another. Keep believing. And fight until the end.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you very much. Thank you once again, Carlos, and congratulations to you all. And now the moment we have been waiting for. Let's bring back BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall to present the 2024 Basketball Africa League Championship Trophy. Carlos. Carlos.
So we are watching a live coverage of the post-game ceremonies. Madu Galafal giving Moraes the trophy, handing it over to him. This is a man who really very much deserves the accolades, even though he didn't play much today, but he has really held together this team for so many years. You can't talk about basketball in Africa without talking about Carlos Moraes. But let's go back to Kigali to get some of that energy. Let's go.
Well, big congratulations to them, Q. What about that? That was some sensational final for them to play in. Remarkable.
They talked about the journey, and it's the destination that counts right now. They pick up the trophy and bring an end to what has been a fantastic BAL season 4.
It's been incredible, and this is history for Petro.
We can't wait for season 5. Congratulations, Palamens, to Petro de Luanda, winners of the BAL season 4. Thank you very much for watching. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're just joining us, you missed such a great game. But don't worry about it. We have it for you on our website, voaafrica.com. You can go stream it. You can listen to our coverage. I was in studio here with Philip Luzi, Mokbil Yarborough, and Paul Ofuono. Guys, what a great finals matchup between Al Ahly Libya, a debutant team, and what we consider really a veteran team, the vets, Petro de Luanda. Finally, the trophy making it to Southern Africa. And Mokbil, I want to ask you this question. I don't know whether this is a sign or a testament that North Africa's basketball caliber or pedigree on the whole has declined, or that Southern Africa has been able to match up, and we've seen that evolution happening in the last 4 years.
Ooh, that's tough. That's a really good question, Jax. I think more than anything else, it just shows that the team that has been around the longest, Petro's just been around for so long and has made it to this final moment more times than, you know, the debutante team. I think also you can't really, I can't put Angolan basketball on the same level as, you know, the other sub-Saharan teams, because Angola historically is a basketball country, the rich history. Yeah. So you can compare Angolan basketball to that of like Egyptian basketball, really. So I don't think Angola, if let's say any other, let's say if the Kalahari Conference let's say if Cape Town Tigers would have won, then it would have been kind of like, wow, this is a bit of a shocker. We got some new, but Angolan basketball is just as long as Nigeria, a North African basketball. Absolutely. So I think this was just like, it was their time. They got the right, they already had the foundational core there. They just got some nice pieces they sprinkled on top. You know what I'm saying? But they got the win, man. And kudos to them. I think this was huge for them.
Philip, whenever we talked about basketball in the last, 20 years, 30 years in Africa, it was always about North African teams dominating. Yeah. Is this a new era?
Yeah, I think it's a new era. I think off the air we're talking about how far basketball in Africa has gone. It's much more balanced. You have much more talent coming into the continent, and these teams are starting to crop up. Back in the day, it was the West African teams and the Northern African teams. Now you have so many teams, even East African teams are starting to show up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this is really good for the continent, for basketball in Africa, and for the traction it's going to get moving forward. So I'm excited for the next season. I hope you can enter the stadium and feel that energy as well. Yeah. Let's start booking those. Let's book those tickets.
Yeah. Paul, work on those tickets for us.
How do we
sustain this momentum? How do they sustain this momentum? And I'm talking about Southern African teams. Just the fact that the trophy is coming to Southern Africa in itself, that has to do something mentally for these other teams, saying that we are able to aspire to this.
Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to put it on the players. You know, as a business minded person, you know, I'm now saying, okay, the owners of the teams down below the equator. You know what I'm saying? You got to piggyback off this win,
right?
You got to say, okay, hey, you know, we've kind of won it.
Right.
You know, I'm going to say we, because now you want to piggyback and you know, start infusing money, you know, however small it is, looking for partnerships, looking for good marketing skills,
sure.
You know, like Mr. Luzi mentioned, and we get this thing going. So, you know.
Philo, what is missing in sub-Saharan basketball? Like, what is the thing? Why are we not seeing the talent pool, the caliber of basketball players that we see on the North?
As a person that has played before.
Historically, basketball has always been invested in Western Africa, Northern Africa. There's always been, for example, in Egypt, the academies, and they always groom their players, and they put money from their country into these players, so that you kept them from leaving the country, so their basketball leagues grew. Mm-hmm. And in West Africa, you had players, of course, they have the height advantage over most of Southern Africa, but they managed to play abroad and they invest money into their leagues. So Southern Africa and East Africa are just starting to get onto that kind of wavelength. So, I mean, it's now, we're now catching up. We're going to be able to compete.
Mm. In case you're just joining us, my name is Jackson Vunganyi. I'm here with Mark Biryabaro. Mark Bill,
yes sir.
We have been in these studios. Oh, sorry, and Phil and Paul.
Yes sir.
But we've been in this how many months now?
Yeah, a lot of months, bro.
You guys are experts now, man.
A lot of months, bro. I feel like because it seems like every season of BAL keeps getting longer too, right?
Absolutely. Right?
Season one to
more
season
teams,
four.
Yeah,
more but teams, listen, more we have one more round to go, and that's tomorrow. Our podcast at Nothing But Net
Monday
will be on Monday.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I feel like it's
you're
a Sunday,
already there,
bro.
You're
like
already.
I'm on my head. That's how I operate.
Yeah.
But we want to thank everyone that tuned in. Thank you so much again. The game is still streaming on our website, voaafrica.com. Connect with us on our Facebook, on Instagram, on all social media platforms. I feel like I've talked. I've run out of words, and maybe this time we'll wrap this up. Mark Bill, any final words?
Yeah, I think great season, man. Thank you, gentlemen, Paul and Phil, for joining us. This was definitely very, very
sure.
fun.
Thank you for
man, I can't really just put into words like what a great ending to a great season.
Absolutely.
So we're just looking forward to seeing what the next seasons will hold for the BAL.
Congratulations to Petro de Luanda. Very much deserved win. I can say I was really surprised. It's one of the teams that I really counted out. And here they are with the trophy finally in Kigali, Rwanda. About to take that flight to celebrate in Luanda.
Yeah.
Big win.
We'll catch you next time. Let's catch you again, I guess, on Monday on our podcast.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Goodbye.
Have a good one. Peace.
Have a good one.
Peace.